Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all niggas don't know me, but y'all niggas don't know me. Y'all niggas don't know me. Black Mamba, it's Kobe. Y'all niggas don't know me. Y'all niggas don't know me. Y'all niggas don't know me. Black Mamba, it's Kobe. 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 Y'all niggas don't know me. Y'all niggas don't know me. Y'all niggas don't know me. Black Mamba, it's Kobe. Yeah, I'm Kobe. They know me. Big homie. Black Mamba, one and only. Big Mama, from New Jersey. King Erner, Black Honor, being worthy. It's a point guard. Shoot early. 5:30. Shoot a one-on-one, or one-on-five. Let's make it fun. First quarter score 21. Every shot I took, look, I was calling them. I ain't passed it off. Why you look away? I ain't passed the ball. Nah, that's when I hooked the J. Off the block from the steal I just took away. Y'all niggas don't know me, but y'all niggas don't know me. Y'all niggas don't know me. Black Mamba, it's Kobe. Y'all niggas don't know me. Y'all niggas don't know me. Y'all niggas don't know me. Black Mamba, it's Kobe. 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 Y'all niggas don't know me. Y'all niggas don't know me. Y'all niggas don't know me. Black Mamba, it's Kobe.
Yeah, that's kind of strange right there. That was my basketball song called Kobe. I used to do a podcast every Sunday during basketball season. So I got to update that soon to a football song. This is kind of strange tonight that I was supposed to be doing the Point of Impact podcast today on the Point of Impact with Derek Hanser, but he canceled his podcast. So since I didn't have anything to do and I'm home alone, I said let me do a Super Bowl podcast while I'm here just watching the game and see who want to call in and talk about sports with me. Welcome the people on. I see a couple of people listening. And it's 7-7. Philadelphia got the ball first. They just went straight down the field and scored so fast. But Kansas City came right back and scored on them. And what was good about it, I had a bet that Kelce, the wide receiver for the Kansas City, would score any time during the game. And if he scored, I won. And he scored on the first drive. So I could sit back now and relax and enjoy the game because Kelce already scored. So I could just sit back and watch the rest of the game now and see what happened. But check this out. I had a friend of mine, an Italian guy that owned a bar that me and my son go to on Sunday. And he owned this bar, Miami Mike's. He bet $500 on the coin toss. If it was heads, he would have won $1,000. And could you believe it was tails? He bet $500 on a coin flip. Ain't that lovely to be able to do that? To bet $500. Well, let me see what's going on with the game right now. All right, Philadelphia Dr. Boyle. I thought this game was going to go under. I mean, I thought it was going to go over, and then everybody kept saying it was going to go under. But nah, the way it's looking right now, when they score 14 quick points like that in the first quarter, and it's only halfway through, I can't see this game going under unless it slows down in the second half. We got to see. I think they did a good job, though, at picking these the two best teams. Both of their records is 14-3. They both was number one ranked. Philly was number one ranked in the NFC, and Kansas City was number one ranked in the AFC. So let's see what happens. 3rd and 14. They might stop them right now. Oh, yeah, they stopped them. Kansas City stopped Philly. That's the only way this game is going to go under is to have it start being a couple of stops. But what's going on out there? Everybody watching the Super Bowl? I'm going to have to make me a turkey and cheese sandwich soon. Hold on 1 second. I got somebody calling in. 1173, you live with Jay Sean.
Hey, Jay Sean, how you doing?
Hey, what's my going on, brother?
I'm fine, man. I'm Miles from Paterson, New Jersey.
Oh, what's going on, Miles?
I'm good. We got two good teams here, man. I'm a Kansas City man.
You a Kansas City fan?
Yeah, I'm a fan. I'm always been a fan of Kansas City.
Oh, okay.
But I'm a fan, but they're not my team. But I do like them. But Washington,
okay.
My team. Washington, my team.
Okay.
But
so what you think they're gonna do today?
I hope they win. But see that Philadelphia, once they get one, but they're a dangerous team because they got a powerful defense. Their offense is awesome. Just as long as we could keep their running game down, we got a chance of taking them out.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if they won, though.
Who, Philly or Kansas City?
Philly, because we always know the NFC. They always got the strongest teams because they play harder than the AFC. AFC like a passing organization, but NFC like smack you down defense like that,
Yeah, it always been like that. What year you started watching football?
Ooh, man, 1967.
Oh, wow.
I'm 65, homie, so.
Oh, you 65. Okay, yeah, you got me. I was born in 63.
Yo, but check this out, man. You don't pick Kelsey to get a touchdown first. That's cooler than the mother, man.
Yeah, I had – what happened was I had I don't know where the ticket at. I got the ticket around here somewhere. I had bet that the Seattle and his hockey team would win. They won. I bet that Boston would win today. Celtics would win, and I bet that Detroit Pistons wouldn't lose by 11, and they covered. And then I had put on the ticket that Kelsey would score anytime touchdown. I just put that on the ticket, and it just turned out that he scored
so
the first drive down the field. That's a good
day.
Because, I would have been having to sweat out the whole game seeing if Kelsey was going to score. So I know everybody that bet on him, I know everybody that bet on Kelsey to score is happy as hell
I know
he scored that fast.
I know his brother happy for him, though.
Yeah, me and my cousin was talking earlier. I didn't even know he had a brother on the other team.
Yeah, he the center for the Eagles.
Yeah, I didn't even know that. Imagine that. What luck is that, your parents? You got two sons in the NFL. Not only two sons in the NFL, but two sons that make it to the Super Bowl.
Now, that's got to be a history thing there, too.
That gotta be got to something. Some people got
yeah, we already
all
got
the
first two black quarterbacks in the Super Bowl.
Okay. Do you ever listen to my Friday night show podcast?
I hear you
on the Wednesday night and the Sunday night.
Yeah. Oh, so you come
again
on Friday too?
Yeah, Friday night is my show. It's 8 o'clock. From 8 to 10 I do my my podcast. It's called Keeping It Real. It's like a relationship
number, right?
Podcast. Same number every Friday night. Yeah, we be in there having a ball.
I check you out.
Yeah, we be on there, and then because I'm the engineer for the Sunday show, and I'm the engineer for the Wednesday show. So I hear you call in. When you call in, yeah, that's me who bringing you in. You know what I mean? I'm engineering it. So yeah, so. I heard you call in before a couple of times. Like I hear you calling in on the Sunday show. So he called me today. He said he was going to take a day off since it was Sunday. So
yeah,
I said I ain't doing nothing. I said I wasn't doing nothing. You from Patterson?
Yes.
Oh, what part? Where you grew up? What area?
Mostly down the hill, then up the hill. Down the hill when I was younger, and I came up the hill when I got into my teens.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I grew up on 31st and 17th Ave.
Oh, I know that.
I don't know if you know anybody.
Matter of fact, my cousin, his son used to live over there. He was to date this girl, a Muslim sister named Rashida.
Oh yeah, Rashida. I know Rashida. She live around the corner. She live on 32nd Street, right?
Hold on.
She likes
it. Damn, they on the 30 already. I'm sorry. I was listening to the game. Well, you got to excuse me, man, because I got to listen to the game because I'm totally blind. But I'm listening to
on
the 30.
Oh, you
got to
listen. Yeah.
They on the 30 already. Yeah, Rashida. They live around the corner from there.
Yeah, they let her son used to be with my son.
Taji?
What I call him? Q.
Word,
she got
you call
son
him?
Named Q. Yeah, I know who you're talking about, Rashida. She lived around the corner.
Yeah. I call her Miss Bean Pie because she always got her get me a bean pie and stuff.
Yeah, I grew up over there.
Yeah, all right, see? Where you from?
Yeah. I'm from Patterson, too. I grew up on right there on 31st Street. My family, we was born in Christopher Columbus Project, CCP, but I only was there till I was about 4 or 5, and then my parents bought the house on 31st Street, and we still got the house over there.
Okay.
Yeah,
I remember when they blew that bubble up. I'm on 11th between Madison and East 19th.
Get out of here, man.
Yeah,
I live right on the corner on top of the store.
We're on top of the store. We're on Madison and 11th Ave?
Yeah.
You used to live on top of that store?
I still do.
I've been here ever since 83, man.
I think I've seen you before. You blind, right? You said?
Yeah. Yep.
Romy, your brother.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I know Romy, your brother, and Reese.
Yep, he right here in the room.
Oh, Reese in the room with you?
he's in his own room, man.
Oh, in his own room, yeah. And you know who else? Your cousin name is Patty. Patty Jackson from The Faith. Small world, right? Oh, shit, he missed it. He missed the field goal. Damn. How the hell he missed that, man? Kansas City missed a 42-yard field goal. Yeah, I've seen you before. Sometimes you sit in front of the building.
Exactly. Cracking jokes on people.
Yeah. We neighbors. Shit, you live like two houses and right across the street from me.
Oh, snap. I hear you, my brother.
That's crazy. How did you find out about the podcast? How did you start listening?
A friend of mine, LaToya.
Oh,
LaToya told me about these brothers that was on the podcast talking about, you know, that was in when they was in prison and stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's my man. That's the Sunday podcast, my man. His name is Derek Hanser, but he go – yeah, Malai.
Yeah,
he been there 25 years.
Yeah, and I was listening to it. That's when I first heard about it, and then they told me they do a Wednesday thing, too. I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh,
so
but LaToya ain't tell you about the Friday one, though, huh? She ain't want to tell you about mine.
Exactly.
I think LaToya on the line, too. Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me see. I think. 5885?
Jay Sean, get out of here, because Mal's been on your show.
Been on my show?
Speaking of the lady.
Mal, you've been on his show. Yes.
When on Friday?
Oh, I didn't know.
Yes.
Hold on, that's the one after Adrian?
Yes.
Oh, snap. My bad.
Yes. I told him about your show. Yes.
The guy that crossed the
street. We live right, we neighbors.
Ain't that
nice? I know his brothers, and you got a sister, too.
I got 7 of them.
Oh, I only know one of them. Not Jackie. What's the other one?
Melissa. Kathy.
No, one is light skin. I think she got a mole on her face or something.
That's Jackie.
Oh, Jackie. Okay, yeah.
She live
right
on Madison Ave.
She live around the corner from me. I know her from seeing her in the store.
Yeah. And she laughs,
yeah,
too, ain't she?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She talked, LaToya, she don't need no microphone, LaToya.
Oh, now, that's okay. Mouse is 1 out of 14.
1 out of 14?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I knew your brother Romy a long time. I knew since the 80s. I met him from a cousin of mine. I think they did some time together somewhere, and that's how I first met Romy. But I met Reese.
Matter of fact, Reese just walked the door.
Oh, for real?
Reese walked the door.
Oh, tell him I said what's up.
He hear you.
What's up, man?
Oh, you know who this is, right? My man on top of the candy store. He know who I am.
They live over top of the candy store in the corner.
Oh, what's up,
man? We always talk. What's going on, Reese?
I ain't know my brother.
No, we got a podcast he be doing.
Oh, okay.
And that's how we hook up.
That's what's up, man.
Yeah,
I be telling him all the time what I be doing podcast, so.
Oh, yeah. That's what's up right now. Podcast is what's going on right now. Hey, yo,
just telling me. Yeah, he told me you was running from some midget.
Oh, Lord.
I was running from a midget.
No, my brother took. Then you told me he was running down the street, the midget was chasing, and he was screaming for us?
Me? Not me. I was getting ready to say, I'm like, nah. I'm thinking, like, I only know one midget in Patterson.
So you like, what? Did I say that?
I'm like a midget. I'm like maybe a midget, a pit bull midget. Yeah. But it's 7-7. Yeah, the game done slowed down a little bit. They both went down the field real fast. Now they done slowed down.
Now they all warmed up now.
Yeah, I thought they was going to just keep scoring, but yeah, it done slowed down now. That guy missed that field goal. That messed up.
I hope it'd be a good game.
Yeah, it's going to be good. You could tell already by the intensity of it. I mean, well, shit, it's the Super Bowl, so, you know, what is to be expected.
See, one thing about
the Super Bowl,
they always be careful because they don't want to make no mistakes.
Yeah, I just want to see the score. I want to see if it go. My cousin needed to stay under under something. I forgot the under something. He need to stay under. Hey, LaToya.
Yeah.
Oh, how did you like the show I was on with Deborah the other night.
Oh, that was good.
It was a good show, right?
It was a very good show.
Yeah, it was very, very good.
Yeah, you wasn't on Miles on Thursday. It was a good show, Miles.
Yeah, that was it was a really good show. It really was. I didn't know what to anticipate, but it turned out being a very good show.
Oh yes.
That's one thing good about a podcast. You never know what to expect.
No, not at all. But it just be good shows. Deborah on every second Thursday?
Yeah, I think she was saying something like that. Mm-hmm. She said she was going to try to do another part two to it.
Yeah, she needed to, because that was really nice. It was really good.
Yeah, it was
really
deep.
Good. Yeah, you opened
it,
up.
It was deep.
And everybody spoke about, you know, and she had questions.
Yeah.
It was nice. Really, really nice. It was nice.
I liked it. The lady that was in the wheelchair.
Oh yeah, she just so open and she just looked at her.
Yeah,
mind.
She's funny to me. The one that was in the wheelchair.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was cool.
She really was.
Well, all
was
them fun. Sports fans, the score, the first quarter is over. It's Kansas City 7, Philadelphia Eagles 7. So I guess that's about as good as a first quarter could get.
They're about at the 50-yard line, Philly.
Oh, now? We must got a time delay because mine got a commercial on.
Yeah, mine do too. You know, remember you said he missed the field goal?
Yeah.
Okay, and about 5 seconds later, he kicked it here, and then I heard it hit the upright. So we got a delay of time. So you get yours before I get mine. So.
Yeah, we got a little delay of it. Yeah. See, we
so
just all
like
watching the Super Bowl together.
I like
just
that
all
opening.
Watching the Super Bowl. We're opening.
The music when I turned in.
Oh, yeah. That's a guy from Patterson that I know. He's a rapper. I told him I said, because, you know, I used to do a sports podcast. I used to do it every Sunday morning. That when it used to come on, that's the song that used to come on. It's called Kobe Bryant. He dedicated it to Kobe Bryant. So I used to play that. I recently just stopped doing it because, you know, we're doing my podcast on Friday and then try to do another sports one. It was a little too much for me. So I said, let me just concentrate on my Friday podcast. But I'm going to bring it back, though, the sports one.
Yeah, Kobe was something else, man.
Yeah, Kobe was another monster. If you hear people talk about Kobe, his regiment, and his determination, and how Kobe was, man.
You know who he reminds me of?
They'll let you know who.
No, when they do their regiment, like workout practice thing, him and Steph Curry, they go. I mean, they be out there. When they practice, they practice.
Because
ain't nobody ever going to shoot a three-pointer like Steph Curry be shooting them. And Kobe, he an assassin. I like him. I call him an assassin, man. I used to be a Laker fan, but I retired him after the way they treated Magic Johnson when they found out he had the AIDS virus. They treated him. I like, after what everything that man did for y'all,
A lot of people did him bad once he came down with that.
Yeah. I kicked him to the curb after that, man.
You know, that's a touchdown. I've seen that. Philly, touchdown Philly. That was a long one. Touchdown Philly, A.J. Brown.
At Brown. See now, you said it already. Now they just showed the play here, not a replay. The full play. See the difference in the time?
Yeah. It's a difference in the time. I got to call. Wait a minute, 1 second. I got to call somebody. Want to come on? Hold on.
Now Brown is
8555. I'm coming to you.
Okay.
No, somebody else trying to get in. 1 second.
Okay.
We just all watching the Super Bowl together. See how it turns out. We thought we was gonna be alone tonight. Well, I did anyway. Oh, hold on 1 second.
You thought that? Yeah, I didn't figure you were gonna be on tonight.
My man Sunday show he canceled, so I said, man, I'm home alone watching the Super Bowl. I'm going to do a sports podcast. I didn't expect people to tune in like this. Dre, you on?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
sir. All right. My man Dre just tuned in, y'all, my Monday night, man. Hold on. Let me see. I got somebody else on the line. We got a full house here tonight. Yo, 8555, you live.
Hey, what's the deal? What's going on?
Hey, what's going on,
y'all? Dre, what's the deal? What's going on? How y'all?
Hey, Miles, that's Shadi, the one to do the Wednesday night podcast that you be calling into.
I recognize his voice. I recognize that voice anywhere.
I wish Mr. Solution would learn his voice because he always calling Shadi Jay Sean and Jay Sean Shadi. Yeah.
Now, I must say, Shadi, you had a great show on Wednesday. And Lisa,
yeah, that guy
was
he had on there was something, wasn't he?
Oh, I was listening in. Lisa was going in. you were sharing your personality towards him, too. I was listening. I was just listening. I was like, get him.
Yo, my man, he went deep. Didn't that guy went deep for it? Like, just going to be a good one.
Yeah.
What's up, Sean? What you doing?
Not much, man. Just, you know, I figured I'd call in and see what's up.
Hey, Miles, that's Shadi. Me and him been friends since we was 9 years old, the fourth grade.
Yo, Shadi.
Yeah, what's up, man?
My man lived across the street from me, man.
Oh, yeah, Shadi. Across the street from Miles. Yeah, I lived three houses two houses, and then crossed the street. See him outside his house in the summertime. Hey, Shaw, who his brother is? You know who his brother is, Shaw? Romy. You know Romy?
Rome,
Rome's brother.
Yeah.
I'm still the big dog of the family, so. They all think they're older than me. They seem like they're older than me anyway, so I let them be.
You the oldest, Miles?
Huh?
You the oldest?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You the oldest. So he the oldest of 14.
No, you're not the oldest of 14, Miles.
No, I'm the oldest now because seven of them passed away over the years.
Oh, okay.
My four oldest brothers, they passed away like during the late 70s, early 80s. And my sister, my older sister, she passed away 2 years ago. It'll be 2 years this next month. Next month. No, Mother's Day after Mother's Day. And my mom and my other sister, it'll be 3 years. About 4 years starting in April.
Oh, okay.
That left me the oldest now.
All right. Okay.
Now they knock on my door with their hand out. Bruh, no speaking English. That's what I be telling them.
This game is getting. I think Philly going to do this. It's 14-7 Philly winning. Yeah, they just punted. They stopped Kansas City again. That's two times.
Philly's a strong team. I give them that. They got a strong defense, offense. But if we keep it close, we got a chance to take them out. But we got to stay close.
Yeah.
So we can't play no catch up with them. They got a strong running game. They can run that clock down on you.
The hands canceled his show, so I said, man, I might as well just come out here and do a Super Bowl podcast and see who come on. You know, I'm home.
Right.
I didn't know everybody was just watching this home doing the same thing.
Yo, Shadi, you sound like in the background, sound like you ain't got nothing to eat or they ain't give you nothing to eat.
I'm the one
that didn't eat yet. I gotta get ready to make me a sandwich, a turkey burger or something. I'm gonna make something. I think you turned me on to turkey burgers.
A long time ago.
Hey, I'm a turkey burger too myself, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yep, I remember that. And I've been eating them ever since.
So, Sade, instead of me going to buy them, I go there and make my own.
Yeah, that's
the best way.
Definitely.
Yeah. I got my little papers.
Definitely.
Round them off, freeze them.
That's it.
Yep.
That's it.
Dre on the line too. Dre, what you doing?
Probably crying because his team losing.
Dre. Well, Dre probably muted me. He probably busy. Dre probably outside somewhere.
Hey, Latoya.
Uh-huh.
That's how we men do when we watch sports. We crack on each other.
Yeah.
It ain't fun if you ain't cracking on the other brother team getting his behind kicked.
I wish I had, you know, them big, they have them Super Bowl parties and people have them big, long hoagie sandwiches.
Yeah, that's when you get them sandwiches. You throw up at your house.
Yeah, big, long sandwiches.
What they call them, six feet long ones.
Yeah, six feet long. I've been at parties when they had them a lot of times.
Yeah, man.
That's crazy, Miles. You live right across the street from me. I didn't know it either until I asked him where he lived. He said Madison and 11th Ave between Madison and 19th. I said, man, I live between Madison and 22nd, right down the street.
I don't know why I mistaken you was from North, Miles. That's where I was thinking.
You thought Miles was from North?
North.
I ain't know where he was from.
That's what I was thinking.
I just kept saying he tuned in. I wonder where he's from though.
Patterson.
I do a lot of before this COVID thing happened. I do a lot of things in Newark because I do go to a lot of meetings in Newark. For the blind.
Yeah.
It's loud as hell over there too, man.
Where?
In North, them streets so wide, man. All them trucks and cars, them horns be blowing, make you feel like you in New York City.
Yep, Sha-D down in North Carolina though, it's quiet as hell down there, right, Sha?
Yeah, pretty much, man. I think you know, retired down in the South. Yeah, nice and easy, man. Take it easy where you can, you know, you can gather your thoughts. You know,
that's the thing about being in the city
is so much going on. Sometimes you can't even gather your thoughts.
How long you been living down North Carolina?
Going on 3 years.
Oh, I thought you was one of the oldies down there because I remember when Michael Jordan used to play for the Tar Heels down there. He used to walk around North Carolina down there.
No, I've been down there.
He was a real assassin, man.
That's crazy. Philly playing this. I gotta run downstairs and get some lettuce. So, hey Miles.
Yes, sir. You think
you could run the podcast till I get back from the store downstairs?
Sure. Make sure when you go down there, ain't nobody down there illegal.
That's all down there is illegal. You know them jokers, they do it, and they do all kind of illegal stuff in that store. Them Dominican people, they doing everything, man. They got numbers, legal numbers, everything in there. Bootlegging, anything you want to do, they doing it down there.
Yeah, they doing it.
I wanted to ask Sade what he got coming up on his next show.
Okay, yeah, y'all go ahead and talk. I'll be right back.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I'm kind of, you know, I, because I don't know if Salute is going to be on. If he be on, I want to, you know, kind of touch on that because he talked about knowing the Constitution and knowing your rights and stuff, you know. And
yeah.
It's plenty of people that understand the Constitution and know it and still be mistreated, you know. And
yeah.
Then there are things in the Constitution, you know, like the being a 3/5 of a man and all of that kind of stuff that wasn't beneficial to us.
Another thing about that too, man, if you read your right, you know, you tell the cops about your rights and stuff, that make them even more frustrated because they pissed off that you know your rights.
Yeah, they shook. I mean, look at the Panthers. The Panthers knew their rights up and down, but they still found a way to dismantle them. You know?
Yeah, they had to put some undercover agents in there, just fill them up with all kinds of lies and made them turn on each other like that, because that's how you destroy a group of good people.
Yeah, agents within, you know, and that's the sad thing. Well,
and it's sad that when you see some people doing good things and you want to make them look like you're doing bad things.
What?
Like I tell you, man, they're scared to death of black people. They don't want us to unite because they know with our intelligence and what we have and how to do things, man, they don't want to put that together.
I was talking to a brother
named Tyrone about this. I would say, Tyrone, imagine that we had the technology we got today back then. How Malcolm X and all of them could use the skill, the technology that they have now, how powerful they really would be then, you know, passing out the word like they did.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we got to do. We got to utilize the technology in a manner that they weren't able to use it, start utilizing it, you know, because
exactly.
The message needs to get out, and the other messages we got to find a way to get other people to understand that there's no other people in this country that experience what we experienced, and because of what we experienced, it makes us unique. However, it's being used against us, though. It's being used against us in a manner that it poisoned other people against us. It does it in a manner that subconsciously. They don't even know that they're really against us because it's subconscious. You know, so that's what I want to kind of get into on the next show of how people are poisoned against us subconsciously due to what they do learn about us. You know, when you think about it, what do you actually learn about us as a people? When you go to school, you don't learn. The only thing they push is you as a slave. You know,
exactly.
And then they give you Frederick Douglass, but very vague about Frederick Douglass, you know, and, you know, that's not much. They don't tell you that we were here and they took land from us. They don't tell you the truth. Then it's the religion. What was our religion before they gave us Christianity? What was it? What was our language before we started speaking English? Because obviously, if they stopped us from reading, that obviously meant that we spoke another language and reading English was foreign to us.
Exactly.
You know? Those are the things that they don't put out, and other people and our portrayal is basically left up to the entertainers. The entertainers and, you know, the rappers. That's what they look at. And most people, when they come here, they're being told to stay away from us. you know. And the other part of it is you got to remember that this country has – everybody is an immigrant except us, you know. And it's like the immigrants built the country with the laws that benefit immigrants. So immigrants come over here and they do well, and then they wonder why, okay, why you've been here over 400 years and you're still struggling. But it's due to certain things in the system, the way the system is designed. Right now the system is designed to run automatic based on the mindset and the perception of the way people see us subconsciously. If you think about the police, from the police to the teachers, to the judges, to the prosecutors, to everyday people in stores, you know, you look at it, they have an unknown bias against us. Even when you get, when other people come, like Chinese and all that, they still have an unknown bias based on them never really being around us. And the only information they get about us is from who? You know?
And not
the
only that.
Go ahead.
Not only that is the fact that over in the foreign countries, we got a guy from South Africa that be on this program called Pops. He was telling us that in their country, they show how black people are violent over here. That's all they show them over there. See, this is how black people act in America. They don't show nothing good about us. They just show that we're supposed to be bad people. Stay away from them. They ain't no good. They dangerous. And it's like it's like they want other countries to believe that the blacks in this country is the ones that's most dangerous.
Of course. They are master manipulators. I mean, that's mm-hmm. what you have to look at. They are master manipulators. For them to be the smallest amount of people on the earth and for them to just about control the majority of the earth, they have a system of manipulating and lying and making themselves appear to be the good, the nice, the upright, when really they're anything but that. When you look at the history of any country that they came to, they've raped, pillaged, and took over countries. In any country they came to, they leave a record of what they do, and not only that, they remove all the evidence of the people before them, and put, you know, when you think of being a black person in America, all your exposure is to white. That's your first exposure is to white. So subconsciously, even the point of, you know, them giving you Jesus as a white person. Why did they choose to give you a white Jesus? Because they wanted you to be submissive. They wanted you to accept that, okay, look, this is what the Bible says, and we the chosen people, because look at your Savior. He looked like us, you know?
And then the crazy thing about it, how they talk about his hair is like wool, but do you see them pictures on TV? Hair straight as well. I'm like, get out of here. They ain't no wool. Get out of here.
Exactly.
How you going to tell us one thing, and then we see this difference? That don't make no sense. But you're right. People feed into that, though.
Right. Yeah. They
believe
stuck in it. Right. Yeah. Why? Because if you tell a lie long enough, you don't know it's a lie anymore. it becomes the truth.
That's because they like
that's,
they said,
that's it.
A lie to them is the truth, and the truth is a lie.
Right. Yeah.
I'm like, excuse me. Did you just see that guy get hit by a car? No, he didn't. What kind of vision? That ain't me on the video tape. You don't see me shooting nobody on the video. That's not me. Like,
right. Yeah. So the main thing is for us to be able to get out of individualism. A lot of us is in individualism. We promote taking, you know, just being alone. And we see examples all around us with people unifying and how well they do it as a unit, you know. And we struggle so much because we're so separate. But we're so separate because we're the only ones in the country not tied to a land, not tied to a language, you know, and not tied to our very own culture. We, you know, everybody else, when it comes to parades, it's like heritage. Their heritage, that means stuff that was passed down from generation. For us, it's African American history. So that means what we're getting is historical. And you know, so we don't, our culture has been passed down. Certain things in our culture has been passed down, but a lot of us don't continue to duplicate our culture. For example, just the fact that when we were younger, the men always, you know, met the young ladies. Whoever the young lady went out, the men got to meet them. You know, those things we need to keep in the culture. We need to continue to do that. We used to eat dinner together. Certain things we let go. But yeah, we need to bring back culture.
I used to tell people that when I be at some meetings sometimes with people, we talk about our family. I said, I noticed, you know, we don't even sit at the table to eat dinner like we used to. People just snatch something off the table and run in the room, grab a chicken leg, run outside. Yeah. There's no more conversation at the table.
Right.
You know, no discussion. Because I remember growing up, our mother in Patterson, around the corner from my house when we lived down the hill, it was Klan territory on one side of the street. Now, 2 days before, like a matter of fact, it was like during January, February, 68, before Martin Luther King was murdered, they started leaving town. And we was like wondering, all of a sudden, they just look like everybody leaving on that side of town. We never thought it was going to go down. You know, like, man, there ain't as much as people over there that used to be. A lot of white people just leaving like that. So, and I remember our mother used to always sit us down, and we watched stuff on TV, and she would ask us, you know, what did you see on that TV with you? And we tell her, they look like what do it look like to you? Like, they trying to kill us. Why? And she, like, always questioned us to get us to understand what we're watching and don't forget what we're watching and why they doing what they're doing.
Right.
I'm like, oh, I get it. Even when the Black Panthers was coming out in the 70s, late 60s, early 70s, how good they was doing in the neighborhoods, getting kids breakfast who couldn't afford breakfasts in the morning, hot meals and stuff instead of boxes of cereal. They coming in, messed that up. And these guys from the Black Panthers, these guys was scholars, man. They was like well-educated brothers.
Right. Yeah, and that's the thing. And that's the kind of stuff that they try to ignore, that the government.
Yeah, they want to take it.
Right. They try to say, like, it's us, but the government has come up against us in many occasions. Whenever it seems to be a movement that is growing and that looks like we're going to be independent of them, because I was listening to something today with Elijah Muhammad speaking about, you know, and this was in 59, this was in 1959, and he was saying, look, we want to be separate from you. We just want your assistance for 25 years. So we get on our feet, and then that's it. Then we good. We don't need to mess with you anymore. We don't want integration. We want separation. And this is in 59. Now, you know, they really started thinking about that, because there was times when we were separated, and for the most part, we did well, because we started having our own hospitals and everything, because we were forced by necessity.
Exactly.
Integration, the integration hurt us more than helped us, you know, in many cases. Because what happened is now we rely on them for more than we need and more than we should.
And we don't need them.
We have to shut. Right. They need us more than we need them. But they played the mind games to make us think that, you know, it's the opposite. You know, we need them. When you look at how America makes its money, America makes its money off of us.
Yeah, we're the number
one consumers in this country. And not just being consumers, commodities. Like, when you look at the athletes, the majority of the athletes are who? Us. So what if we decided to just say, look, every athlete, soon as they get their contract was up, they left and opened their own teams. What would happen, you know?
They'd be scared to death for that.
Yeah, so these are things that could be done, and we just have to have the faith and put forth the effort to do so. These are the things that they're afraid of. Yeah, these are the things they're afraid of. For example, even
I noticed they would never let, because they had a big discussion about letting black people own a football team.
Right.
Like a black owner of an NFL
right.
football team. No, we can't have that.
Right.
No.
So this is the thing. This is because of technology now,
mm-hmm.
we have a better avenue to put them on blast. So we have to put them on blast now. We have to expose them for who they are. Like when Elijah Muhammad was calling them the devil, that was, you know, it was extreme, but it was necessary. It was necessary,
right.
But now we want to expose them for the frauds that they are. You know, because on one end, the main thing that we've been fighting for, it wasn't to be integrated. It was for equality. It was for equality, justice, and freedom. Now, those are the things that we've been fighting for.
Like what you just saying, it's all true. Because I know when Elijah Muhammad spoke, a lot of people listened. And they knew when he speaks, something's up. I noticed they never even tried to put no assassination on him.
Well, because they saw that he was too cautious. You know what I'm saying? He was too cautious, and if you listen to some of the old interviews, they would say, yes, and he's super protected. He's protected everywhere he go.
Exactly.
That's why. If Malcolm X would have took the precautions that Elijah Muhammad had taken, then it would have worked out different for him. The thing is, he didn't take. He said, "I trust my people enough to let them come in."
Yeah, he was something else, though, boy.
Yeah.
Came out of prison and became a leader like that.
Yeah. Because he was sincere in the cause.
Mm-hmm.
He was totally sincere to the cause and for the love of his people. Like, we've been told, this is the thing that I think of so often, that we've been told as black people that Jesus came and died for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And we have had many demonstrations of people who died for us, who died for the improvement of black people. Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, you know, it's Fred Hammond, the list go on and on about people who died for the improvement of us as a people.
Sacrificing your life.
And, you know, yeah, yeah, they gave their life out of their love for us as a people.
And you know,
we
once
had many symbols, of Jesus that came,
You know, one thing about all that, too, nobody talk about, and these guys was in their 20s. These was young men out there doing this. Well, Malcolm died. Well, Malcolm was like 30, well, like 30-something.
30-something, they was in their 30s, yeah.
Yeah, and when they started out, they was in their 20s. What, Martin Luther King was like 25 when he first came out, doing what he doing.
Yeah.
Malcolm X was in their 20s. Then they knew what they was doing was going to cost them. But they wasn't afraid to do what they was doing. Like
when they boycotted
the bus companies back in the 50s, them companies, like, they shut them companies down for like a year and a half, almost 2 years. Them all was scared to death because they were losing all that money. And one thing white America is afraid of is losing money.
Right,
they know
because it's a capitalist society.
Yeah, we bring money. Black people spend more money. I can't believe the money we spend in this country and still get treated like we get treated. And if we put that money together and keep it to ourselves, well, we got trust issues between a lot of blacks, too, you know. With that kind of money.
I mean, the thing is, we have to start somewhere. See, many of us didn't get the opportunity to see black businesses when they were growing up. A lot of the young people didn't get the chance to see that. Younger people didn't get to see it. And then some people forgot about it. So it tells us that we are able and we've did it before. We've had businesses. It's just that the ones who had the businesses didn't prepare the upcoming generation to run the business. So when they got the business, they just let it go. That's what happened.
But Dick Gregory said something that was, he said, I remember in the neighborhood, you see black businesses, restaurants, businesses, barbers, this and that and that and that, owned by blacks. He said, now what you see, Ho Ho Ching, Chan Han Ling, and all Spanish stores, no more black stores, black business like they used to be. What happened? That's what he said. Somebody tell me what happened. I'm like, oh, man, you got to get them.
Yeah, and that's what happened. What happened was when we had the opportunity, because I've seen it on the block that I grew up on, it was predominantly black-owned. I've seen when it changed hands to when the parents left and left it to the children didn't care enough about it to keep it going. And they just let it go.
They didn't let it ride like it's supposed to.
Yeah, they didn't say, okay, now I'm going to hold on to it and I'm going to teach my children just like what the Spanish people do. Or if you're not going to keep it, pass it on to somebody else. Like they pass it on. I've seen since then Spanish people come in, keep the bodega for like 4 or 5 years, then pass it to the next one. They keep it 4 or 5 years and pass it to the next one. So
just keep rolling.
You keep it going, and so we have the answers to the problems. It's just that we have to find the right like-minded individuals to make it work. You know, that's the thing, and we have to realize that the one thing that we can't get back is time. Money, you could get more money. See, that's the thing that I'm not crazy about with solution, because solution, this thing is money. And, you need money to make changes. But money is not our sole answer. It's things that we have to be able to do with the money in order to change our situation. And if everybody just say, look, I'm going to make money for myself, then What good does that do us as a people? Because we got a bunch of rich millionaires and billionaires, but as a people, we're still suffering.
Exactly. Why are we going in their stores buying stuff when it should be coming in ours?
Absolutely.
And like when you like said, they pass it on. You get these Spanish people, they get a store, they pass it on to the next. The next thing you know, Jose got a store on 9th Ave, and then like four blocks up the other way, his little brother got another store over around that side.
Right, right. Exactly.
Neighborhood.
That's right. And that's from us giving them our money and helping them build their families while our families suffer.
And I always tell you know, excuse me, but here in Patterson, right, we got people who always complain about the Chinese store. Y'all come over here and get this and that and that. But yet, you still going in and buy their stuff.
Wow.
If you're going to complain about a store, why are you going to keep going in and giving them your business? It don't make sense. Wow. You know, every time I turn around, if they get this Chinese this, they Chinese that. But yeah, but you going in there and giving them your money. So what are you complaining about?
Well, I mean, that's just who we are now. Like, a lot of our work is talking. We're not, you know, we're not putting forth the action or the effort. We're talking about it. Like, complaining helps you to, a lot of people to, okay, to get past it. I let it out, so I'm okay now. I talked about it. Now let me go and do whatever I'm going to do, you know?
Yeah, like
which
they tell us,
unfortunate.
You talk a good game, but what you going to do about it?
Yeah. It's, you know, yeah. So it's unfortunate that we're in the position that we're in because some of this stuff now, we have to take accountability and make some changes on our own. Because one thing we know for sure, if we've been going through this from the 60s, 50s, 40s, 30s, and we're still talking about some of the same things like schools and education and all that, then by now we should know that they're not going to change that. We're going to have to change that. You know, like why would they educate us to be able to be equal with them? It's just not going to happen. That's not who they are as human beings.
Exactly.
Because we're like that don't mean that they're like that. Because if they were, they'd have went ahead and done it years ago.
Yep.
You know?
I call it sit back and watch them self destruct their own selves.
Wow.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
We out here self destructing like, come on, man, we could do better than this. People gave their lives up for us to get a better life at what we're doing. We just like letting it just go right back to the scene like it's gone back to the 50s. Cops
yeah,
out here.
You know what else? White people work harder than black people. You know what I mean? They don't work hard enough. It's just that they inherit stuff. You know what I mean? And they taught finances and stuff like that. Like we really don't be taught all that. So they come in the door already. Most like Trump came in rich already. He already was born rich. What's the other president? Before, you know, the ones that was doing the Bushes, yeah. They came in already rich, like a lot of white people, because, you know, like you wonder like sometimes, well, I'm living in the ghetto, and you go like a couple of blocks over or another town and it's like, man, why are white people living in big, nice houses and, like, we don't, like, you know, but a lot of times, people don't know it's they inheriting money and they taught to do different things with money than us, you know what I mean? And that's how they got a jump. That's how they get the jump on us. all the time. Dre, you there? I said Dre was trying to say something, but something wrong with his phone. Dre, you there? I think his phone is still acting up.
Got one of them bootleg phones, man?
Probably so. He keeps saying he just keeps texting saying he's trying to talk, but he can't get through. I don't know. Your phone is open, so I don't know. When you get it right, just jump in. Yeah, but that's what I wanted to say. The score is 21-14, Philly up. I think Philly gonna dog them. I got to call Dre back in. But y'all could go ahead.
Look, if it's 21-14, they're keeping it close.
Go ahead. You know what it is, though? The quarterback is hurt again. Kansas City. Yeah, his ankle was hurt again.
Oh,
you know they
sweat.
Got that ankle wrapped up and shot up with Novocaine. Dre, you in?
And you know a defensive player, you know he's going to go for that.
Yeah, that's what they did. They went for his legs. Yo, you know what happened? I put on my Facebook page. They were showing all the LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, David Green. They were showing all the athletes' wives, all like 25 or 30 of them. I stopped. Every one of their wives was either high yellow, light-skinned, or white. Now, one of the athletes is married to a dark-skinned black woman. Yo, that's crazy. I'm telling you, I went like down 25 names. They were showing the athletes and their wife. All of them is either white or light-skinned. Not one person got a dark-skinned wife. Now, that's
crazy. Well, because they represent that organization where that they can get away with that, because a lot of white companies, they do business with lighter skinned women than they do darker skinned women, because they always believe dark skinned women are more aggressive, and then a white girl, because if a dark skinned woman raises her voice, all of a sudden she's aggressive. What's her issue? Why is she all loud like that? You know, and that's the standard now. But I tell them like this: I don't care if my girlfriend, she's dark green. If she make me happy, I don't care what nobody say.
Exactly.
Hey. Besides, I'm blind. I wouldn't know the difference anyway. So.
Oh,
wow. Hey, they can tell me she's purple. She could be like.
Yeah. You can hear me, Jay?
Finally.
Yeah, cool.
What's up, my brother?
What's up? Yo, we got to go back a little bit. I know y'all changed the subject, but we got to go back a little bit. I got a couple of statements and a comment and a question.
Is that Dre?
Yeah, it's Dre.
Why he talking like
that?
When
you guys...
Oh, he's taking a drink.
A trach in his throat?
Yeah, it sound like he hoarse or something.
No.
A trach. You know what a trach right. is? You know the people that got the hole in their throat?
Oh, my bag. I didn't know that.
Very good. When y'all was talking about you know, back in the days and slavery and days like that, and the black ownership of black businesses. Didn't that start around the time that Martin Luther King started fighting for freedom or racism? Do you think that was a good idea that he did that? Do you think the fact that he did do that and took the black businesses? After he did that, you know, it started being other people moving into the urban areas, you know, the Mexicans and Spanish people, that's when that all started, right? Oh, no.
Where I think about it, to me, it's like when he did that, he did a good thing for America. That's what he was doing for blacks. All that, everybody that, if we Americans, we have a right to the same rights as white people have, because we're supposed to be Americans, right? You say we're American, so why we can't vote, we can't do this, we can't do that? That's not right. We have a right to education. We help build this country. But yet, you give everybody else a break, like my man Sade was saying earlier. When foreigners come over here, they get treated better than we do. And why is that?
Yeah, but my question is, do you think by him doing that, does it kill the black
community? I think to some extent it did cause it. I don't think he meant for it to work out the way that it worked out. I think when his objective was really to bring equality. However, us being separated, it opened us up to not doing what we could for ourselves, because now we had different people in the communities. Like our greatest minds before, we couldn't even leave the neighborhoods. Doctors, lawyers, professors, everybody had to be in the same neighborhood, which was a benefit because we had all our great minds together. Now what happened, once the segregation, then your great minds will move out. The great minds will move out, and now you just leave the blind in a city. So, yeah, so I do think it hurt us in a manner more than it helped us in the long run. I think it did hurt us to an extent because we had hospitals, schools, all of that.
It made white America see how powerful the blacks can be when they once they unite together like that. When you get a bunch of people that unite together like he had them uniting, and they get to the point like, hey, we don't need you for this, but we have a right to this, so we could do our own thing. Because like you think about it, when Black Wall Street hit this country, it scared the hell out of them white people. They never imagined black people to do what they did, had their own banks, business office, their own city. It's like they was building their own country in the United States. And what they did, they went down there and did it on purpose to destroy them people. They don't want us to be a unit, a force to be reckoned with. That's why we're constantly being treated the way we were treated in this country.
But, what are you really trying to say?
Go ahead, Dre.
Sarah, you answered your question perfectly. And my other thing was, when before Martin did that and everything was black, were they still crying? Like, were they still black crying at that time?
No, I think it was nowhere near the way it is now. Even during my time coming up, it was different. You know,
I agree with that.
It wasn't until like recently, like I would say, like during the 80s, that's when it started switching up, where the crime started increasing. When the crack came into play. Now you brought, before crack, we was on some stuff called, we was like African, you know, pro-African, pro-black, things of that nature. We used to say black medallions, no gold, you know. After the crack came in, those black medallions out the window. We started getting gold, diamonds, all of that stuff. So from the 80s, what you see now with the rappers, all of that stemmed from the 80s, where you could literally, make $3,000 to $4,000 in less than an hour. You know? So,
and not only that, imagine, like you said, when that started out, they go to afros, all the afros start being cut down.
Yeah.
Said the medallions, it wasn't medallions. They was like gold little chains and stuff and gold medallions instead of the African American African dahlias and all that. All of a sudden just say,
So what happened, it was a move, it was another movement during that time too with the 5%ers. And the 5%ers, it was like you represented, you would call a woman a queen or you would call a woman a goddess. And the man was called God or kings. Or, you know, so what you would do, you would go to different neighborhoods and you would like, okay, today, you'll say, what's the day's degree? So the day's degree today is 12. So you would say knowledge, wisdom. Knowledge is to look, learn, listen, observe, and respect. Wisdom is to show forth the knowledge and all being born to understand it. When you put the two and the one together, it's three. That becomes understanding. So that's what we would do. We would build. So then what would happen is they would say, after you build, it will be like, peace, God, travel in harmony. And that's how it was. So Patterson was called now justice. You know what I mean? Now justice and peace. Peace.
Remember,
we had our own language.
Remember during this, during our days, we was representing our colors, the green, the black, the red, and all that.
We recognize it.
Now, and what we do now, what we call our girls, our ladies now, B's and H's.
But see, the thing is, the beauty about now is we have to start sharing that history with the younger people. We allow our history to be told by somebody else. What we did, we allowed hip-hop to be taken over and exploited and used against us more so than to be used as a vehicle as it was intended to be, was to uplift us beyond where we was at in the neighborhoods and in the what we call the inner cities or the ghettos, the hoods. That's what hip hop was about. It was a vehicle that would help us move beyond that. Like cats would rap about what was going on in their neighborhoods, but they would also rap about what they wanted to see in their neighborhoods. But now it's just being rapped about what's going on, and that's it. And it's all coming from a negative view, and it's coming from a negative view because we don't control hip-hop. The same people who've been controlling this country control hip-hop. So they the ones who create the image of what we should do and who we should be. And that's why we're suffering so much right now.
Yeah, and the thing about it, Michael Jackson even told us that MCR Records, they're racist, they're a bunch of crap. And look what we do now. Instead of calling our neighborhoods, what we call it now, the hood.
Right.
And people hear that word, they think, okay, is the hood, that's a bad neighborhood. Don't go in there. They dangerous.
Right.
We should have a program over here called the Neighborhood House Program on Graham Ave.
Yeah,
I remember that
with Twig. Twig used to be a part of that. I used to live around there. Yeah,
right.
Now see, there you go. So those things, because we're still around, we need to start working towards those things. Like JB said, what we need to be able to do, we need to be able, with the podcasters, all the podcasters need to have one pot where we put money towards something to, if it's going to be to build a neighborhood house or something. Start putting money towards something.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way we're going to change our situations if we start being able to build things on our own without having to ask for help.
Because you see what they did? They took our rec centers away from us.
Yeah.
Where the kids used to go play ball, get together and hang out and talk to one another. Now everybody hanging on corners.
Right, because that's more financially beneficial for them,
mm-hmm.
not for us. You know,
exactly.
And I hope I answered your question, Drake. But to let you know how it wasn't always as violent as it is now, and we have answers to changing that, but we all. Majority of us has to be committed, or at least a great amount has to be committed to a change. And at some point, it's going to take us putting up money to do it. I mean, we may have to not play our picket, or may have to skip a week of a haircut or something like that. Whatever, but we would have to be committed to doing that. That's what it would take for us to change the conditions for the younger people coming up. And
hey, Dre,
we have the capability of doing it.
Exactly. Hey, Dre, there's an organization out right now called POP, People of Progress. They march on everything that the police violence, domestic violence, all that. They even got young kids now marching. Like in their teens, 18, 20. They even speaking out now and trying to make a change. But they need more of the young brothers their age and young sisters their age to come out like that, too, because you find them all over New Jersey. We got a POP organization here in Patterson, too. And with the Black Lives Matter and POP organizations, they trying to get people to come out. But most of us just like, it ain't this, it ain't that. I hate when they say that. Ain't nothing going to change. If you keep that attitude up, that's why nothing going to change. Because if you keep thinking like, we can mind tell you what, but nothing changing, that's what they want you to think. Nothing's going to change if you do this and do that. No, things will change if you step up to the plate. You got to be serious.
Let me just say this before. Personally, I think if you can get all those people that march to donate some money, then we could get
that's
more.
That's what we're trying to do.
Everybody, that's what we need.
We're trying to
that's
put money together.
Need.
Try to buy
yeah.
certain buildings in the neighborhood.
Okay, real quick. Everybody that's talking about the topic, do me a favor. Give me three things that must change in order to get this straightened up. Three things.
One is.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, Jeff. Go ahead. You speaker.
I was gonna say that me and Dre talk like 5, 6, 7, 8 times a day, every day. We debate on a lot of things because. Dre is from that you might could tell by the questions he's asking that he not on that he don't want to hear like about Black Lives Matter because, until black people stop killing black people. Feel me, check me out though.
He got a legitimate thing
like when a white cop kills somebody like. And he might don't want to say it, but I'm gonna say it for him. But everybody go crazy and burn down buildings and want to kill people and protest. But every time Akeem shoot Raheem, it's nothing. You know what I mean? So Dre is like on that thing, like where we gotta stop killing each other before we could keep. You know, Black Lives Matter and hang the cop that killed somebody and, you know, stuff like that. But anyway, I just wanted to say that.
I agree with him on that, too.
No doubt, I agree.
What we need is, too, is like, okay, we got these organizations fighting for rights for everybody and blah, blah, blah. But he right. We have to get an organization too to fight black on black crime. Now we can't just go out there and say, oh, we're going to march because the cop shot a black man. But we should be marching out there too because another black kid shot another black kid.
But you don't have to redirect. You don't have to redirect. They kill us.
Yeah, but
they
kill
us now.
The point is this.
You can't go against them.
No, but we got to do is. Listen,
go ahead,
what I'm saying. When we see a black kid kill another black kid, you see how they rally at the funeral. Oh, we go to the funeral for this guy. We should do the same thing. Go down here and say, look. We ain't down here to argue about no cops shooting a black kid. We was talking about black kids shooting black kids. What you going to do about that? We got to get involved in that. We just can't expect them to say we're going to handle it. No. If we're going to go after cops the way we go after them for shooting a black person, we should go after a black person the same way they shoot a black kid.
Yeah, but look, no one's ready to die. No one, everybody's talking, right? But no one's ready to die for it.
Well, okay, if that's the case, if you're afraid you're gonna get killed and shit, I say stop complaining then. If you tired
no,
of
saying,
it, you
no. I'm saying that there'll never be a Martin Luther King or never be a Malcolm X again because you don't have no one that is willing to die for what they believe. No one's gonna go against
it.
I'm willing to, but it has to be worth it. It has to be worth it, and you have to have people committed. I don't want it. It has to be a commitment made by people that one thing you have to do is we have to be re-educated. We haven't been properly educated. We've been miseducated. Why do you think the young people kill each other? Because they're looking at each other as ops, as the opposition. That's not an accident. So they have to be re-educated to understand who they are. And some of these things have to start in the homes. And if it's not in the homes, this is when we need like the neighborhood houses, because in the neighborhood houses, I guarantee you, I've worked with young cats. I've worked with some of the cats that's probably out there murdering or whatever. The thing is, what you have to do, you got to show them that there's love. Many, many young brothers are growing up in households where they're surrounded by only women. The
exactly.
only time
no,
they have interaction is when they're in the streets. And they're learning how to be a man on the streets. So if everybody, if for me, like I say, rather than marching, I'd rather see people donate money towards a neighborhood house, towards a cause. And the cause is to improve our conditions. We have to improve our conditions. And once we get a place where they can go and they can be safe and we can educate them, then we can start changing this thing around. You know, I'm a part of the brothers reaching out to help everyone rebuild self. We went to neighborhoods after cats got murdered. So we went and did that and stand on blocks and things like that and talk to brothers and all that. But we need more than that, because once we need institutions, the reason we are suffering because we don't have institutions. So first, we need to be re-educated. Second, we need to be willing to put our money behind whatever it is we believe. And third, we need institutions. We need institutions. So those are the three things, Dre, that we need to change these conditions.
If you're gonna start opening up these organizations for kids, these rec centers, we got to have enough money to keep it running. And we can't keep depending on the government. They're going to help us out, because sometimes they'll put a stop to anything to stop us from doing what we're doing. And another thing I don't like is this. When a black brother kill another black brother, and then their parents come out to the frontal, and they start, oh, my son was a good boy. And I'm saying, come on, your son was out there selling drugs, shooting at other people. Now, somebody took him out because he... If you got somebody coming after you with a weapon, you must have done something to really piss them off. And then when you know your son, cause think about this. You sitting in your house, your son 13, 14 years old, he come in the house with some Nikes, gold chains and stuff, and he ain't got a job. Somebody, he doing something wrong. And if you sit there and allow
and you're doing it to our own people.
The thing is this. That was me. The person you just was talking about, that was me. And
when you sit there and you allow that.
But this is the thing. For a parent to see their
son doing that and not trying to stop him or stop him from doing it and condone that, whatever happened to him, you got to hold that too. You got to be accountable for that because you know he's doing something wrong. And don't be sitting in it.
Look how many. But listen, Miles. How many communities? I'm gonna say something to you. I see guys who own bars, stores, mm-hmm. and all of that from when I used to hustle.
Right.
I've seen these guys that I used to go to the spot and get product from. Now they turned to legit. How many other people have utilized drugs to build a better future for themselves? We're not the only ones. And for me, it's like we kind of throw each other to the wolves. Like it was a time where hustling was the only way you could feed yourself for some people. Because
Go ahead, Dre. You're right. Drugs is the only way we can feed, but we're still killing our own people. We got all the gold chains and all the rings, all that money.
Right.
It came from someone's mother or sister or brother that struck out on a drug that was given to them by their own people.
This is the thing that you want to do. If you can convince a cat, like that's ultimately what made me stop doing it.
Mm-hmm.
When I first came, before I even started hustling, I made up my mind. I wasn't killing nobody. I wasn't beating nobody up. I wasn't selling to no pregnant women. And I wasn't selling to nobody for food stamps. Those were my things. And when I got to a point that I would have to go to jail for it, I was going to stop. So that's what I did. And that's how I lived up to it. Now, the thing is, if you got cats, okay, if cats are selling and now you're taking from your community, it's only right to be able to give towards your community too. See, I've seen... Now, we got other people that may not be selling drugs in our community, but they're still getting money from our community and giving our community nothing. We need to kind of get the mindset because we need to let them know, look, drug selling, that's a stepping stone. If you want to do it, it's a stepping stone. It's not a career. Guys trying to make a career out of selling drugs when it's something you can use to figure out what you need to do. So we criminalizing each other, and instead of trying to educate each other and like, look, man, you're doing that, but this is how you need to do that. Instead of turning your back on him, saying he's the lowest person because you don't know his conditions. You don't know what got him out there unless you speak to him. Now, the other thing is we calling each other nigger. You know, that nigger thing, it's easy for me to kill a nigga than to kill a brother. You know what I'm saying? God, smoke that nigga right there. Or smoke that brother right there. It even sounds different.
We yell nigga. That nigga just tried to hit me or that nigga tried to shoot me. Smoke that nigga. That's right. Go around there and take it. That's what they be hollering.
Right. So we got to work on some things and we can't be afraid to say little things. We don't have to have long conversations. Just little things to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because if it wasn't for some cats that used to say things to me, and you know, I already had the things I would do and don't. But if we turn our backs on them, which that's what happened. That's why they kill each other, because most people turn their backs on them. You say they criminal, they deserve what they get, and you turn your backs on them. So Come on, you got people 13, 14, 15, 17 years old. They're young. They don't know no better, especially if their parent coming from a single-parent home and their mom or father have to work all the time, then when the father or mom come home, they don't have enough time to spend with them to educate them because they're tired. So we have children in those type of conditions.
That's why I believe when we're a parent and we see our kid with Nikes and gold chains that we know we ain't giving them money, that's when we got to say, wait, there's something ain't right. Something's wrong here. And if we don't put a stop to that, and then he go out there get himself killed or arrested, and then we're going to sit back and say, oh, well, we didn't know. You knew. You just didn't take time out to put a stop to it. We gotta step up to the plate, too, as parents.
Well, this is what
I'm saying. Yeah, it's hard, man. It's hard, you guys.
Listen, the thing is this. We as men need to step up to the plate more because a lot of times the ladies are overwhelmed and the men are just running their mouth and doing what they're doing. So men come in, deal with a woman, sex her, and be out and won't pay no attention to the child. The woman is doing the best she can a lot of times.
You know what pissed me off too about some of these brothers too that sell these drugs? Here you was riding around in the BMW and all this in the neighborhood, like you the man, and your kids ain't got no diapers, no real clothes and stuff, and your girl got to beg you to get some clothes for the kids or money to put food on a table for the kids. But you riding around in the Bentley.
Then they wonder how the cops know about it.
If you're living in a neighborhood like that, you got Bentleys and Lexus is sitting out in the... Now, you know, in the CCP project, you go down there, you see Bentleys and Cadillacs are sitting in that lobby. Somebody down there doing something. They're going to be all up on you on that.
Yeah.
You're going to be a drug dealer. Look, if you're going to be a drug dealer, be undercover with it. If you're putting yourself out there in that spotlight, that's how bad stuff happened to you. When you're throwing it
remember,
like...
Remember... hold on 1 minute. Remember, I wanted to answer with one of Dre's question from before. If we three things that could change the way things is right now for our people, or the people, or the world, or whatever. I'm in Patterson, so I'm gonna talk about Patterson as a inner city or whatever, you know, inner city or a ghetto or middle class or whatever you want to call it. But my problem, see, I always had a different, this was me, I always had a different problem with the way things were. I always believed that the police department, FBI, DEA, Army Reserve, National Guard, Navy SEALs, the military, or whoever, I always believe, just say like in Patterson, if they really wanted to stop people from selling drugs, they could. All they would have to do is post up on the corners where the people sell drugs. Ain't nobody gonna sell drugs right in front of the cops. That's all they had to do. And then they can't say, oh, we don't got enough cops. Okay, bring in the National Guard then. They sitting around doing nothing every day. You know what I mean? Or bring in...
to walk the street.
Yeah, so...
I remember they used to walk the street.
You can't tell me. Yeah, but I know they do it for a while and then they stop, or they put them somewhere and then they stop. No, put them there every day. Put them on 12th Ave. Put them on 17th Ave. Put them on Park Ave. Put everywhere, and I know once they put the cops there, you're going to move to another block, but then when they move to another block, you move to another block, the cops to another block. Another thing is, far as with the killings and everything, I know everybody say this, it's kind of cliche, but we not making guns here in Patterson, you know what I mean?
Ain't no guns. Addison, you right about that.
I remember a time way back in the 90s, and I had a pistol, and I needed some bullets for it. and this is a true story, it took me about 2 or 3 years just to find bullets on the street for a gun. Now, maybe I was moving in the wrong circles or I didn't know who to ask, but we got people now with machine guns, assault rifles, semi-automatics, silencers, and sniper guns, and all kind of AKs, and like, where is these guns coming from? Me, I believe that they being pushed here in this in the ghettos and where we live at. I believe they being pushed here by the powers that be, you know what I mean, that's making it possible. Because, come on, man, if the United States, they shooting down shit out the sky. If you, they shooting down shit out the sky. You mean to tell me they putting people on the moon? You mean you doing all that, but you can't stop guns from coming?
What did you out here a couple of months and a half ago?
I believe
when they had the SWAT team in front of the house over here. Was you out here that night?
Yeah, I was out here.
Right in front of my building. When the guys in the basement, they was out. They had assault rifles. The SWAT team came here and took them out.
I believe it's all about money. It's all about money. Like the I think, is it the La Costa Nostra? When they bought all them guns from who was that? Bush bought all the guns from or sold all the guns to was it Fidel Castro or Saddam Hussein? And they got
no. That was
anyway.
I remember Oliver North. Oliver North did that.
Oliver
North.
Now, we not making no guns here in Patterson, so they got to be coming here from somewhere. You could stop drug dealing if you put cops, just like you got crossing guards, and when it's school time, if you got cops posted up. Instead of riding around talking on their cell phones and stopping to eat donuts, and if you post cops up on, you can stop drugs, but they don't want to stop that because it's money.
Right, somebody,
they got to pay bail. The lawyers, you got to bail bonds to get money. The lawyer get money. Then the judge, the fines, getting fines and surcharges, and that's for the courts and the judge and the counties we in. Man, it's all bullshit. Even with the killings, man. Even with they got something in the sky when somebody shoot a gun, they know what area you shooting the guns in. You can get there and stuff like that, man. I mean, like. I just believe they don't want to stop black on black crime.
You bleed?
Tell about our last four mayors. One of them was going to prison.
Shadi, know the mayor? He was in Joe Patterson.
No, I'm talking about Patterson. Remember our mayor, the Spanish one? What? He was out here.
I remember.
Bootlegging, and then Jones, he was just, I don't know what he was doing.
Jones got too arrogant. He got too arrogant. Once he got in there, Barnes probably was one of the ones that was trying hardest.
And what's the councilman who used to Giants, what was his name? Davis, the councilman.
The black guy, yeah, he went to jail. I think he home now.
Yeah, taking bribes.
Davis.
Not only that, look at our councilman at the third ward over here. He got caught in New York with $25,000 trying to buy a van and got robbed.
Cool.
Yeah, but see.
The guy in the third ward, the Spanish dude, Mendez, I think his name.
Mendez.
Yeah, he in $25,000 trying to buy a van, a stolen van, and he started running for mayor. What the hell's wrong with you?
I mean, you got to realize what we don't realize and other people do,
right,
is that politics is a business. We think that it's really there to fix problems. No, it's a business. People make money off of the business. So sometimes they put laws in place just to make money. So my whole thing about cops stopping the problem. You already know, cop. We don't even have boats to bring drugs here. So you know, anything that comes into the community is brought from outside, and the government approve of it.
Exactly.
So in order to stop any of that stuff, we have to decide ourselves. We can't. You can't expect cops to come in there and stop it. Why would they stop their own jobs? Why would, like
Word.
You said, why would they stop eating food from coming in their mouth?
If we could stop our residents of this city, if we could stop the residents of this city buying that stuff, they'd be out of business.
Well, I mean, the thing is, you have to get people to not really want to sell it because they can have a better alternative and how. If you educate people properly, and drugs has been in our communities for years. There was a time when drugs was in the community, and you didn't even know it because you had to know certain people to get it. So it wasn't on the streets. I remember times when you had to go get weed, you had to know somebody, and you go to their house and get it. So I've seen these things.
Yeah.
So in order to change things, we have to, first of all, forget about the government helping us. We have to get that out of our mind that the government
right.
is going to help us. Because anything that we've seen, his story tells us that the government, only time they stop something is when it's benefiting us. If it's not benefiting us, they're going to let it keep riding because they're going to keep eating. Second of all, you got to realize it makes sense to them and it makes sense to everybody in the system because our label is slave, ex-slave, former slave. The people who worked for nothing, the people who brought America riches. So we are looked upon as that, as a vehicle to make money off. With everybody around us, that's how we're looked at. So we have to start looking at ourselves like, hold up, why the heck are we going to be everybody else's golden ticket or golden goose? Let's be our own golden ticket or golden goose. Let's start helping ourselves and utilizing our money to build ourselves. That's the only way we're going to get out of this. There's no way that the government is going to say, okay, yeah, we see you black people are suffering and we're going to help you get out of it. They're not going to do that. That's not who they are, and it's not a benefit to them to do it for us. It's only a benefit to us to change our conditions, and I just named it. We have to start putting our money together. We got to trust each other. We got to be re-educated. We've been miseducated. Part of the reason what you're saying, Miles, is why jokers get the cars and all that is because they're empty inside and they need something to make them feel like they're somebody because they don't know who they are. They've been told that they're nobody. They don't exist. So they want to shine. They want to feel like they're important. So if we can instill that in them early enough, all this other stuff that's happening now won't be happening because they'll have what they need inside of them. And that's what we have to start doing. And we're going to need the institutions to do that. We're going to need the commitment to put our money together to do that. And you know, we got to trust that, look, we can make this happen. We got to have faith that we can make it happen.
Another thing they damaged us too is like in the 80s, mid-80s, when they took all them Them shops out of school, auto shop, carpentry, plumbing, electrical, when they took them out of the high schools in our neighborhood. And look how much it costs for them people, how much they pay today to do that kind of stuff at your house. They took all that away.
Of course. Right. But these are things that we can do. We got individuals with skills that can teach them. We have to be able, this is the stuff, this is why I say we need our own institutions. They're not going to give us anything. They're only going to take. As long as they can take and we keep coming back to them asking and begging and personally, like for me, I'm not with the marching no more. I'm not with that. Unless we're going to put money together, we get a bunch of people, we put money together, that's what I'm with, because we've marched. We've done that before. It's like, unless we're going to come and we're going to enlighten, we got to come with a plan. And our plan is to help each other, not to ask them for nothing, because we've been asking, and they ain't been giving us. We've been talking about reparations. We've been talking about many things. We just have to do what we have to do for self.
You got a point there.
That's what we have to do. You know? And
like
it's
said,
like,
we met,
you know,
we got.
Like, look at this. Look what they. Martin Luther King got another speech where he talked about the army and all, with the army and all that. They don't push that. On his birthday and during Black History, they pushed the "I Have a Dream" speech. And
yeah, they don't
want to
talk about the positive.
Because "I Have a Dream" coincides with the American dream. You know what I mean? And the reality is, if we really look at it, when do you dream? When you sleep. So we're sleeping. They're selling us a dream because we're sleeping on it. It's time for a vision. When you have a vision, you're awake. So we need to be awake. We need to wake up and see that, look, we don't want the American dream. And it's no longer about the Martin Luther King "Have a Dream." We have a vision of what we can do. We got to have a vision of what we can do to change our situation.
My dream right now is you cops stop putting bullets in us like it's a target practice. Hold them accountable for that.
Well, I mean, how do you hold them accountable? The only way you can hold them accountable is to, you have to still have money to be able to.
Exactly.
To grease palms. The other thing is you have to have individuals who have an agenda where you put laws together. We're not coming up with laws and dealing with, we're not even dealing with what it takes to get our council people on point.
Now let me ask you a question. What do you guys think of this question here? If we hold, you know how when a cop shoots somebody and then they get a civil suit, taxpayers got to pay for it, right? What y'all think about taxpayers saying, look, enough is enough. We ain't going to be paying for this no more. He did it. Let him pay for it. Because every time we get a silver suit and the people win millions of dollars, we as taxpayers, we got to pay for that. Now, I'm thinking if these taxpayers start realizing every time these cops do something like that and they get a silver suit, all that money they got, we got to end up paying these people for what they did. We could lose our houses and stuff because we got to pay these bills, and our bills, every time we turn around, our taxes is going up. This going up, that's going up, and then we still got to, they got to make enough money to pay off these people for what this cop did. I say, if we don't say, hell no, we don't want that, you make him pay for it. Take his house from him.
No, I got a better idea, Miles. All
what's
the
that?
People who going to march, all the people who you can get to march,
mm-hmm.
You find a candidate that agrees that they're gonna push. I forgot what you call it. It's in the beginning of putting together a law, an ordinance. What's the other thing? It's something else other than the ordinance. It's something else. It's something else that a resolution. Come up with a resolution.
Hold on 1 minute, gentlemen. Hold on 1 minute. You live.
Hey,
you
how are you, gentlemen? Hey, how many of you guys have read Claude Anderson's book, Power Numbing?
Who is this, Mr. Confusion? I mean, Solution?
Oh, whatever you want to say, buddy. Just say the one that's living well. How many of you guys
live?
Okay.
I'm doing well, thank you.
Yeah, the the other show got canceled, so I decided just to come on and just opening up everybody home alone watching the Super Bowl. So we just started a discussion, and it been going well. But thanks for calling. What you wanted to say?
Yeah, thank you. Sure. I just – hey, anyone who's watching the Super Bowl, if they don't have money invested in their stock or in the stock of the companies that advertise on the Super Bowl, they're probably headed in the wrong direction. At any rate, have you guys read Claude Anderson's book, Powernomics? And if you have, why don't you discuss it? Because it deals decisively with all the problems that you guys are raising, and you don't have to reinvent the wheel.
Well, I can't drive anyway, so I don't need no wheel.
So, I haven't read it, but I'm gonna get it. And so you said that it tells you, it gives you the breakdown of what we were just talking about with the police.
It answers all the questions that you guys ask.
What's the name of the book again?
It's a book called, well, there are a lot of books, but the one I just mentioned was Claude Anderson's book, Powernomics.
Claude Anderson. Okay. Got you.
And if you don't want to, if you don't want to buy the book, although I suggest you do, you can listen to him. I think he has it on tape on the on YouTube. But anyway, he answers all you guys' questions. I mean, I hear you go back and forth. I heard you earlier. I was listening. You said, well, solution is all about money. But yet that's all you're talking about. You're talking about people donating. And by the way, the prime directive of a business is to make money. Otherwise, it's a hobby.
Right. Absolutely.
But you can't make money if you don't have a business. You got to get money to get your business started. And once you get your business started, then you can make money and make progress with it.
Well,
that's what we're saying.
You know what, sir? If you finish, most people don't have a business. They work for someone else. So that's not true that one can't make money unless they have a business. That's
false. I'm saying if we talk about building a business, it takes money to build you a business. If I wanna start a business, I'm gonna need money to get started, right? And once
well,
I
you're
get
going
it started,
to need more than money. You're also going to need the sense and the acumen regarding the product.
I'm trying to explain that to you. Before anybody do a business, they gotta have a plan. They gotta know, if I got enough money to make this happen, what happened if I get a hiccup here? Do I have a backup plan? Do I have exited? Of course, it takes a foundation. You got to start from the bottom up.
Right. Well, I've owned several businesses, by the way, but you can go ahead and tell me how they work.
No, I'm just saying, if I'm going to build a business, I want to make sure I got a solid foundation. Because I don't want to be building something, then all of a sudden, if something, a hiccup come along, I ain't got no way to stop it. So
got
I
got
to have a foundation. And once I get that done, if my business start booming and making money, I could take that money and start another business. That's
right.
What we talk about in the neighborhood. In our neighborhood, we build our own businesses and bring our neighborhood back to where it belongs, to us. I'm not saying going out there to say, oh, you need this and that and that. I'm saying this is what I'm going to do. If I'm going to start a business, I want to build my business on a serious platform where I know it's going to be solid. Because when you cut corners, that's when shit fall apart.
Let me ask
you
something. When one owns a business, who's the boss?
It all depends. If I hire somebody who can run the company better than me, I'm going to give him the spot. Because if he can make it run better than what I can make it is, the best thing for me to do is let him do that.
All right, let me ask the question again.
You ask me, the customers is the boss. Because if you're not
no
customer, you have no business.
Yeah, now if I got a customer that can run the business better than me, and if I take my ego and put it to the side and sit down and listen to what he got to say and it sounds like it's working, of course.
You're missing the point. It's not a customer.
Yeah.
It's all your
customers.
Your customers.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Customers.
You have to cater to your customers in order to make your business work.
In other words,
they're doing all the work.
Let me go ahead and cash that out just briefly, if you don't mind.
What
I'm saying is, one can have the best business in the world, and if you don't treat the customers right, you piss the customers off. You've heard the old adage, the customer is always right. That's pretty much true. And if you don't treat your customers properly, they're not going to support your business, and even worse, they're not going to recommend your business to other people. So
that's going to treat their customers right, he don't deserve to be running a business.
Well,
if
that's
I'm sitting here running a business and I don't treat my customers right, something's wrong with me.
Right, but you got
to
realize.
I'm not coming back to my store or want to buy from me, because if I'm disrespecting them, I deserve what I get.
All right, but, sir, a lot of people do that. That's the reason their business is
I understand that. But I'm not one of those people going to do that because I know better.
Let me finish my point. Let me finish my point that I was making. My point that I was making was come up with a resolution,
right.
A resolution that would call to get cops to have their own insurance. That's what we would need to do what you were saying, Miles. You would have to come up with a resolution to try to get you an individual that's going to push that resolution till you get
right.
that resolution passed. Because that's ultimately what needs to be passed, that once it becomes a law that, okay, now all cops got to have their own insurance. Now,
exactly.
What happens with insurance, we already know what happens with insurance. If you start being a problem, you won't get insured. So, and if you can't get insured, then you can't work. That's the ultimate goal, to stop that. But you have,
exactly.
you have to start with a resolution.
I can get with that.
And that's the thing that we have to do to prevent that, them going gung-ho and taking money out of the community when they're the ones who doing the community the injustice. So that's the answer, what we have to do.
And I think another thing, they should make a law, too. If you're running for any office and you're making promises and you don't keep them promises, instead of doing, like, if you got a two-year, well, you get elected every 2 years, if we ain't got you nothing done by the, you say, I could do this in the first year, you don't do it, I say we have a right to fire you before your 2 years is up. Don't be making
right.
promises you can't keep. Don't tell us you're going to do this within a year and you can't do it.
I say
we fire you then.
Let me tell you this about laws, if I may.
Hold on. What'd you say, Shade? Go ahead, Dave.
Now, you get the chance to fire them by getting galvanizing enough people to vote somebody else in. That's how you get the chance
to fire
them.
Yeah, but I'm saying fire him before his term is up. If he ain't doing it, if he said he could do it in a year and he can't, he lying. I say we get rid of him.
Yeah, now I want to hear what Solution's saying about the laws. Go ahead.
Thank you. I'll just build up on what you just said. The two things that influence laws are going to be votes and money. Those are the two things that influence your politicians, the votes and the money. Now, what influences the votes? The intelligence of the voters, the collective collaboration of the voters. They have to be on one page, and this is particularly true if people have a smaller number. If you want to call them a minority, fine. But they have to do what they call a block vote. They can't vote fragmented. The other thing is to have money to donate to a politician's election campaign. I don't think, personally, I don't think the police, and I think this is true of most people, the police.
That's somebody's background. Go ahead.
Yeah, the police can be a problem, no doubt. In most instances, the police are not a problem. The police can be pretty easily dealt with. There are other things that intervene. Like I say, if you read Claude Anderson's book, he talks about that. But let me just launch into one big one, and this is where the police come in more than anything else, and that is single female heads of households. Females cannot raise either girls or boys to be healthy citizens. Now, if you want to, that can be controversial, but it's only controversial to people who want it to be that way. It would be better for the man to take the child and raise it, because men generally give they have authority. They can teach kids more about how the real world works. And this is not just to disparage women, but the point is women just don't have what it takes to raise healthy, productive citizens. Now, you can give me the exception to the rule, and all that does is prove the rule. So that's one thing you have to look at. Guys have to do this. They either have to use protection or get a vasectomy, but stop producing these children with these breeder women and that end up being out of control. That's horrible right there. Now, in a community, there are only three things one can do. You can accept the problem, you can stay there and fix it, or you can get the hell out. And you guys made a good point earlier about people having skills. That's crucial. To even get a business, one has to be competent in a certain area, which usually means you work for someone else, and then you start your business. You don't start out starting a business. Something like 85% of businesses fail in the first 2 to 5 years. So it's not wise at all to try and start a business, but it's good to get the prerequisite, which is some background. But, you know, those skills, like you guys were saying, what they used to teach in school, and that's something you can force your politicians and school administrators to bring back, like shop, where you teach guys a skill, plumbing, carpentry, auto repair, and those sort of things. Yeah, you've got to do that. That's the way you build. But I would say read Claude Anderson's book and discuss it on a regular. And
okay, in that book, are they discussing how they're trying to stop us from getting our voting rights again?
What?
You see how they're doing that, right?
Okay, I'm not familiar with what you're saying, sir.
I'm saying, see how it's hard, they're trying to make it harder now for black and brown people to vote.
How are they doing that?
You haven't heard what happened
last
night?
I'm telling you like this.
When it started being against the law, when somebody in line waiting to vote, if somebody bring up a bottle of water, you can't do that. That's against the law. Why is it when now in some states you got to have like 6 different IDs and then you go to vote? Why is it in some poor neighborhoods you stay online for 2 or 3 hours to vote, and then over the white neighborhood is 10, 15 minutes or less? What's that
right.
about?
Well, if that's the problem, and I haven't heard of that, if that is the problem, you have to address that to your local officials.
We've been doing that for years. We've been doing
and
it for years.
Wait a minute. I can tell you how to solve the problem, although I haven't heard of the problem you're bringing up. You guys collect some money and you get an attorney to sue the damn pants off the people that are creating the problem. That's another way to resolve it in short order.
You don't be watching.
So there are
simple
solutions
the news
to the problem that you're raising.
You don't be watching the news when they bring this stuff about how hard it is for these neighborhoods to get voting booths in. Some neighborhoods, they only have 2 voting booths, 2
right.
sections. The other section has 6.
Now, let me ask
down
you, is that
North
true
Carolina,
in your neighborhood?
Some places down in North Carolina down there and South Carolina down there, they got to ride, they got to drive like 18 miles just to get to a voting booth.
Is that
and some
true
people
in your
in neighborhood just walk around the corner.
Is that true in your neighborhood?
Say that again?
Is that
right
true
here
in,
Patterson,
in your neighborhood?
Right here in Patterson, when we voted, we only had 2 places you can vote in Patterson.
Okay.
And Patterson got close to 160,000 people in it.
Right, right.
And you only got 2 places?
I don't want to really – look, those are what I call peripheral issues. And there should be people within your bailiwick that are sharp enough to really address those issues to satisfaction.
We do address it. They keep making excuses because they don't want us to get. They don't want us to vote like we should. We have a right. We should have at least 6 or 7 booths in this city where everybody could go and vote. Why is you going to put a voting booth where people have to take 2 or 3 buses to get to it?
One of the things that Claude Anderson talks about in his book Powernomics, he connects two words, power, the ability to overcome obstacles, and obviously economics. So what I would say is develop power, and then you'll be able to resolve whatever problem you have.
We do go out there and try to get these things changed, but then they change them back. Every time we change a law, the government change that law that we have put in a new law. They make it even harder. If they pass one law, the next law they're going to pass is going to be overturn this and overturn that.
So what are you going to do?
Look what happened every election. All of a sudden now, mail-in votes is no good. But they've been doing that for 50, 60 years, they've been mailing in votes. Now all of a sudden, it's a scam.
So what are you going to do?
Doing this and they doing that. It's a lie. We cheating. We stealing. Why they always
have any plan besides talking about it?
Yeah, they talk about it. You don't watch the news, homie. They talk about it all the time. Why do you think Donald Trump was running out there talking about the election was stolen? When the ballots came in and he lost, it was stolen. They've been doing they've been voting on the benefit on the mail-in thing ever since. Even the Marine Corps, the Navy, National Guards, overseas, they send that stuff in and through the mail all the time. And now we got people over here decide to do the same thing. All of a sudden, it's corrupt.
Right, right. Well, look here. I would just say prioritize your problems. Right, put them 1, 2, 3. Kind of like the police do on the bulletin board when they're looking for someone, they put the information up there they need, and then tackle the problem that's the toughest problem and just knock them out that way.
Only thing I know cops be doing out there, they be in the basement shining them bullets and writing nigga on them. That's what I say.
I think you're joking now, but okay.
No. How many black people been killed in the past 5 years compared to white people shot by cops? Come on.
You can't address, neither you nor I can address everything, and you have to learn to deal with what you can deal with.
Okay,
you're all over the map.
How you feel about these cops?
You're all over the map, from police to voting. I mean, just pick a problem and solve it.
How do you feel about these cops? Look at the guy who was in the military, the cop shot over in Newark, and they let him go. What about the lady who shot the boy in Inglewood in his own house while they tased him like 4 times. Unconscious, she still shot him while he laying on the floor, then ran off, and then they try to promote her. What you think about that?
Well, okay, so let me answer you. No one is going to agree with police abuse. I don't agree with it. No one agrees with it. The police to do those sort of things should be brought to justice. Mm-hmm. That's
but
what I think.
We're trying to do that. But they letting them go. They not convicting them. Look at these 5 cops they got, these 5 black cops who did this to this boy. They fired them right on the spot. But when them other white cops shoot people, they get a bench. They get to sit at the bench or sit over here for a while. We're going to pay you. Then we're going to investigate. And ain't none of them got fired.
Well, I think you're exaggerating to try to make your point. What about the guy that George Floyd? Those people are in prison now. And what about the police?
Hold on now. See, that's right there. Let's talk about that. If it wasn't for that young lady who recorded that whole thing, them cops be walking the street, and you know that.
Did it?
No, because that lady put that was on national television where everybody in the world could see. You know they had to lock them up. If that camera wasn't, that girl didn't record that, that man would have been. He did this the second time he did that to a brother.
Okay, I got another one for you. What about the guy that was running, supposedly jogging, and the guys killed him with the shotgun?
They wouldn't have had that on tape, they'd be free too. Because think about this. The district attorney lady who was in charge of that said she wasn't going to press charge against them guys. They had to go somebody out of state to get them. They had that on tape. If that wasn't on tape, them guys would have been walking free. That's the only reason why they got busted, because it was on tape. It was out there for the world to see. That's why. When they got, look what happened with these five black guys who did this to this boy right here. They was hiding their body cams. They was covering stuff up. Thank God for that camera on top of that pole that they was over there. It was shining down on us, saw the whole thing.
Okay, you and I agree on that. We're not disagreeing there. We agree. It's just that no one can solve all the world's problems.
We ain't saying we try to solve. We just trying to say when these cops do these, you should do something about it. Don't be saying, look, we're going to put you on desk duty for a month or two to investigate. Fire them on the spot like they do everybody else. Let's just get serious here. People out here taking people lives for stupid stuff. People running and you shooting people in the back?
No. Okay.
You gonna talk about, my life is threatened? How's your life threatened? He's running away from you. Why is we giving these white cops a break? These black cops, we want to hang them. Any cop shoot anybody without cause like they do, I say they all should go to jail.
Yeah. No one. I don't resist that. I say police community, community policing. The policemen should live in the community that they patrol. The policemen, every one of them, without exception, should have body cams. And also the police commission, who usually is the one that stands in the way of justice. They have more power than the politicians, and it's very difficult to discipline the police when there's the police union. So
other politicians, they suck. Because, listen, they haven't even passed the George Floyd bill yet. They put that on the floor, and the Republicans turned it down. Why they ain't passed that bill?
I don't know. You tell me.
Because, they know if they do that, every cop out there will be responsible for what they do. They come
right.
And they
well,
behind.
They need to be responsible. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, but they
I'm
not
a
let
big proponent of responsibility. So.
Yeah, but when you put a bill out there and it don't pass, but what that say to the people of this country? Is it all right to kill a black man? We don't care what you say.
Well, you know, this can also be dealt with on the local level, state by state. So it's not just – you're talking about federal legislation. It can also be dealt with on the local level.
It goes up to the Senate where they have to pass it through for the president to sign it. They said no.
No, but you're missing
how
what
many
I'm
times
saying, sir.
How many times did a bill pass, and when it gets to where it's supposed to go to the president
– I got you on that, but it can also be handled by state. Because all police are not federal police.
True.
You're talking about a lot of local police, so that can
and
be handled
many, yeah,
at the local
how many
level.
State by state, like you said, how many of these cops that got away with killing people?
I don't know.
I'm gonna call in because it's past the hour, so he's not the
Now you talk about okay. You telling us to read this book. Read up on that. Read up on these cops killing blacks.
I know that to a certain degree.
You asked us to read this book.
Have policemen ever assaulted you?
Yes, I have been assaulted by a cop. But you know what? When it happened to me, I shut up. I wanted to scream at him, yell up, but I knew if I did, it could have got worse.
Good for you.
But listen, you want to read this book, I want you to Google up all these cop shootings and compare how many cops, black cops, shot white kids and how many white cops shot black kids and got away with it. Do that for us. And then
the
next time you come on the show,
surviving a police stop is knowing
was,
how to deal
no,
with
I'm
the police
you,
like
you
did.
Like you asked us about the book. I'm asking you to Google that up.
Hold on. I'm trying to comment on something you said. You just said you knew how to keep your mouth shut and survive the police encounter, correct? That's what I just heard you say.
I'm 65 years old. I know better. But you got kids out here, 15, 16, 17, 20, like that. They get tempered. They ain't hip to that because nobody taught them that. Nobody taught
well,
them.
Maybe that's right.
Yeah,
they got mouths.
Yeah,
you know they got mouths.
Yeah,
I mean, I
got
to do this.
Yeah,
they get these guys ticked off. And they do that. But, see, they don't have nobody to teach them how a father said, look, son, I love you, but when you go out in these streets and these cops approach you, yes, sir, no, sir.
Well, maybe that's an important area to investigate right there.
Yeah,
that's solving the problem at the lowest level.
My man was saying that a lot of these men got to stand up and be a father to their kids. Let them know we could teach them a lot in the house, but when they get in the streets, it's a different story. So when you get a test like you want us to read this book, Google what I asked you to do, and next time you come on there, you tell us what you found out.
Well, wait a minute. First of all, look, the immediate problem is not a policing problem as far as I'm concerned. The immediate problem, and I don't know if that's anyone else's position, but economic empowerment, that's crucial. Because even if you get rid of all the police problem, you're still going to have the problem of how to live.
How can we live if our black brothers out there still getting shot down? Don't they have a chance to live too?
Wait, hold on.
You want us to read? How they gonna read if they walking down the street and getting a bullet in their back?
Where's all that energy for Black on Black Time?
I just want him to go up, Google up all these cops shooting and give me a report back on that.
But that's not the biggest problem.
We have just as much as right to live too. Look what happened when the boys shot my man down there, the guy walking down the street with an AK rifle in his hand, walking past two cops. They took him to McDonald's and fed him. Look what happened when they shot in Pittsburgh, when they shot up that church. That white boy came out there. They took him down to Dunkin' Donuts and fed him.
Miles.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
I think where you're going with this is not so much of the police. It's a mindset. It's a mindset that's indoctrinated in the fabric of this country. When it comes to black people, it's a mindset. And people do it automatically because listen what you said and solution about being able to act in a certain manner when you're pulled over by the cops. Do you think white people have to tell their sons to act in a certain manner when they pulled over by the cops? Of course not. They don't have that talk. So that says one thing to me. That says there is a mindset that the cops carry, and not just the cops.
Right.
Many of the people who are in powerful positions or life-changing positions when it comes to black people, that's what it tells me.
Exactly.
The prosecutor has a certain type of mind when he runs up on a black person versus a white person. It tells me the judge has a certain type of perception when he runs up on a black person versus a white person. So that type of problem is a systemic problem that has been bred in this country for as long as the Europeans have been here and came in power. That's where that goes from. And we as individuals, you know, and we have economics. It's not that black people don't have money. It's like we're not doing the right things with our money. A lot of us are blowing the money and not coming together. Like Solution said, as far as dealing with politicians, if you start putting money towards politicians campaign and they start seeing you putting money, now they want, you got their ear. You got their ear because what, like I said earlier, politics is a business. We look at it as like they're there to solve our problems. They're not there to really solve our problems. They're there to make money. That's what it's about. So,
and look how long they've been there, 40, 50 years they've been in them places.
Of course.
Well, Shade, I would say this to the gentleman. I think you said
it. It really hurts when I have to tell my son or my daughter or my niece and nephew, be careful when you go out in the streets.
You're being disingenuous because they're more dangerous to each other than the police are to them.
I'm saying it's a shame that we have to say that to our kids when they go out that door. Please be careful when you go out in them streets.
Right, but
you
they are more say, of a danger to each other.
Thank you. Thank you.
I know that, but I'm
you
saying...
You don't even
I'm,
address that. All
I'm,
you
I'm saying is
on are the police,
look,
which is appropriate.
What I'm saying is it's a shame that we have to say that to our kids.
Just finish the thought. You do have to say it. There's nothing wrong with having to say it. That's not a huge burden. What I'm saying to you, it's very disingenuous to run around talking about the police, although that should be addressed, when they're killing each other wholesale. So I think it's disingenuous to not address that. That's
we
the major problem.
But listen, when I was growing up, we used to say, Mom, could we go outside? She would say, go outside. She never said, go outside and watch out for this or that and that. Yeah, go outside and play. That's all they would say. Go outside and play. But now they tell you, son, be careful when you go outside. That's a big difference from when we grew up to what they're doing now. I know when you was a kid, your mother never said to you, oh, go outside, be careful of this or that and that and that. They just said, go outside and play. And then you want to say, Mom, can I go outside? Sure, go outside and play. That's what
they said.
Well,
there are all kinds of things, and there always have been to be careful of. But what I'm saying to you, you're very selective in what you focus on. And that's okay if that's the way you want to be. But if you want to talk about the larger number of people that are getting killed, it's young people of the same skin hue killing each other. That's the bigger problem of taking people's lives.
We were discussing
that,
too.
You're not focusing on that.
Yeah, but we need to. We need to go after the same people like that. Look, we need to go after the same people who are killing each other as the same color as we do when we go after cops.
But no one does. See,
if a black guy kill another black kid on the street, you should come down on him like you're going down like on a cop shooting a black kid.
Right, but virtually no one does that. Because
I know that.
I would encourage you to, and a lot of people do this, and it's in the news, look at the killings in Chicago and other major cities around on the weekends. It's horrible. It's like a war zone.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that discussion when he was talking about Chicago, the killings in Chicago, how we always hollering about how cops are doing this, but why aren't we hollering about black-on-black crime?
Called Chirac, I believe. I recall hearing someone speak of it.
Yeah, real quick.
Chirac?
Yeah, I heard about that. But look, one of the reasons why I feel they don't protest black on black crime is because it's more safe to attack a cop rather than to attack that gangster down the street. You feel me? They feel more safe protesting against the police. Because in all reality, they can't do nothing to you. You know what I'm saying? But if you debate Keyshawn from killing, if you're going against a black person for killing another black person, then it's more of a risk that something may happen to you rather than you attacking a police.
The other way, they say you a snitch and his boys will come after you.
Yeah, basically.
But see, think about this. See, I understand that. But see, back in the days, people took that chance because they did the right thing.
Yeah, but now they're killing you now. They're killing your whole family, bro.
A lot of people sacrifice their life to get things changed for us. Even against their own blacks, they even told on each other. Yeah, they knew they could get in trouble for it, but they still went out there and did the right thing. But today, it's hard for people to do that today because they're afraid of retaliation from other gangbangers, other guys, homies.
What happened to Nipsey Hussle? Nipsey Hussle tried to do something. What happened? He got killed. The guy that shot him, they ended up killing that guy almost his whole family.
Okay, so what are we supposed to do? Continue? Hold up. Are we supposed to continue and see somebody get killed and don't say nothing because we're afraid? Because if we're afraid, if we keep in that mindset, we ain't going to never get nothing done. They're going to keep continuing killing us and killing each other because nobody sees something, they don't want to say nothing. But see, soon it happened to one of their kids, then all of a sudden they're complaining. If you see somebody got shot and you don't open your mouth, you just a bigger problem to the system is the guy who shot the brother.
Because you've been brainwashed.
You gotta have. Look, I ain't saying everybody should do it because it takes a lot of guts to, you know, to step up to the plate when something like that happens. But if you ain't gonna say nothing and it continue to happen, what you expect? Nobody ain't gonna say anything. Of course they're gonna keep killing each other then. When the cops come in your neighborhood, said, did anybody see anything? Nah, I ain't seen nothing. I ain't no snitch. I ain't no rat. But then the next day, 2 days later, the guy who got shot, his boys go after the people who shot him. And then when they shoot at him and miss, and then an innocent bystander gets shot and killed, all of a sudden there's a, oh, you ain't nobody said nothing. You doing this and that and that. Where was you at when the guy got shot the first time? We gotta put that out there, too. If we're going to yell about cops shooting us, we got to yell about them shooting us. We shooting ourselves, too. It goes both ways. Nobody is free to go out there and just kill somebody and then sit around and say, I didn't see nothing when you know you did.
Yeah. Or
we don't say nothing, it's going to keep going, and it's going to keep going, and keep going. And then we expect the cops to come down there and solve the problem when we got like 8 or 9 people who saw what happened and could put this guy away. And whoever was with them, but they won't say a word.
I mean, you
and
got.
Then we get
you
mad to
cops,
you ain't find the guy who shot
Miles,
my son.
Miles, think about it this way: you got the cops doing the same thing with other cops.
Yeah.
All right. So you expect the citizens to do something that the cops not doing. Cops see other cops do dirty stuff and don't tell.
That's what I told you before. If a cop sees another cop doing dirty things, he's just as bad as that cop.
But beyond that, what we have to figure out is why are they killing each other at such high rate right now?
Exactly.
We got to find the root of the problem. It's not about, okay, somebody snitching, but what is causing them to do it? Solution touched on it to some degree. A lot of, like I said, and that was basically what I was saying earlier, that a lot of fathers are not present.
Exactly.
A lot of fathers are getting off the hook, making more babies and not taking care of them, and the streets are raising the babies.
Exactly.
That's one of the purposes of what we're seeing. That's a result of what we're seeing now. So
we're asking too many women to be a mother and a father to their kids, and they can't do that.
Absolutely. 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 So we as men have to start, you know, changing our conversations, barbershop conversations and all that. We have to start speaking more about what can be done with the situations instead of talking about who won the football game all the time or which girl you want to have sex with. We got to start talking about, look, what do you do if you meet a young lady and, you know, what are you going to do if she gets pregnant? Or, you know, start letting the women know before you sleep with a man, and, you know, introduce them to the other men in your family and vice versa. And the men do the same thing. We have to start speaking to them about certain things that we don't speak to them now. We got to start.
What you said about the barbershop thing. When you go in the barbershop, that's where they talk about sports. Do you see what's name slam dunk? You see what's name this and that? No, let's talk about why these guys out here shooting each other on these streets. Let's find a solution there. Let's talk about how we're going to find a way to stop that and get take care of that. The hell with LeBron James slam dunking. Who cares about that? Brother just got shot up the street last night. Anybody know how we're going to stop that? That's what I want to hear. I want to have discussions like that. Let's talk about solving the problem.
That's what we have to do. We have to change the conversations and work on the mindset being renew the mindset. That's what we have to do. Renew it. We need a new mindset. We need a new person. Like before, they used to say the new Negro.
Yeah.
We need new individuals to be born And we need to create those individuals and not allow someone else to create who we are. We've been colored. We've been Negroes. We've been black. We've been African-American. You know, we've been all sorts of things, but American citizens. And
instead of humans, we ain't humans. Called
right.
them, we ain't even
right.
human.
Right. Well, we 3/4 of a human, so that
right.
they was saying before. But we as a community have to start changing how we deal with each other. I don't personally, I'm tired of looking for somebody else to save us. I'm looking to us to save us. We have
exactly.
to save us, like I said earlier. I don't
well,
think
Shoddy,
nobody
I have a suggestion
save.
For you. You could go into the schools. And this has to be promoted throughout a community and pay the young people on a per annum basis, pay them for not having kids. Pay both the men and the women. You don't have to pay them that much. But I think that would bring consciousness to them. Maybe pay them $25 for each month they don't have unprotected sex. I mean, there are a lot of ways to approach this.
Maybe we should teach
that's
our kids
bad,
that
that's
having
not,
sex
that's not a bad,
is not the greatest thing they think
bad,
it is.
That's not a bad idea. That's not a
right.
bad idea.
Because the whole point would be to raise the consciousness. Now, I could say the women are as much of a fault as the men, but no one's going to blame the woman. Generally, men don't have the intestinal fortitude to hold the women accountable. But it's only a few men that are getting all the ass. It's only a few men that's getting all the pussy. I was reading a report the other
hold
day.
Hold on, there's a lady on the phone, my man. You got
a
lady on the line here.
A report the other day. Put, there's nothing wrong with those words, sir. Come on.
Yeah, but there's
a
lady on
the
line.
Show her some
respect. Maybe she don't want to hear that, but show her some respect, homie. We
so
know what you're saying.
Make a point, superhero. Super
no,
hero.
No,
make
the lady on the line, show her some respect. That's all we're saying.
But
you know
show
you
me some respect and be quiet a minute.
You don't have to get physical.
It was said that a third of the men under 30 had not had sex. And so that's the thing. Now, a woman can get sex anytime she wants, right? So I would just say encourage, give them $25 a month. That would be a nice little sum at the end of a year, right? A couple of hundred dollars right in that field. And I think that would raise the awareness, help them.
What $25 going to get you nowadays?
Like, sir, would you just hold on a minute?
I mean, now,
solutions.
Solution,
all you have
solution.
Are complaints.
No, I'm just asking
down,
question.
Damn it.
$25. What year is you talking about here?
Hold on, Miles. Hold on. What age bracket are you saying? From 14 to 18? Who would be the age bracket that we would give that to?
That's a good question. The earlier, the better. We could talk about post-pubescence, whatever age that commences. I would say commence doing it at that time because, you know, the earlier, the better because you at least get the idea out there. Currently, that idea isn't even promoted. And I agree with what you said earlier. Now, there used to be two companies that supported private prisons. A lot of people are in the business. I was discussing another a related situation recently with war. And also, all human misery is someone makes a profit off of it. And there's a profit motive. You heard from grade school to prison. There are certain people who have a vested interest in exactly what's going on right now. So one way to head that off or to counter it is to give people options. See, these are active options that could be put in place because young people are going to start talking about it. And that's what you want. Well, look, I haven't had sex with anybody unprotected this month. I have $25 coming to me. You know, and so on and so forth. It's not really the money. It's really the idea,
right.
the power of the idea. Now,
okay,
that's just
now
one
I'm
idea
not,
that I'm thinking of right off the top of my head.
I'm gonna admit that. I thought when you said $25, I didn't thought you were talking about like young kids. I thought you were talking about older, because I know like that ain't gonna go nowhere for the older person. But a young, like young kid, I can understand that. Now you didn't verify what age limit you're talking.
It's never been tried. You don't know what will work.
What I'm saying is, when you said that number, but you didn't give an age limit. That's what I'm saying. Now, when you said, when he asked you what age limit you was talking about, you said the younger. Now, okay, I can understand the 25 thing. But if you was talking about older women than that, like 18 and up, $25 ain't going
to
do.
Let me say this to you. That's what I was asking about. It's not the money. It's the concept. It's the promotion of the idea of abstinence, or at least protecting oneself.
Safe sex.
I understand that.
Yeah.
Okay, very good.
Yeah. No, I think it's a great idea. I think it's a great idea.
I agree with that part.
Putting some effort towards, like I would say, you know, normally a male in puberty starts at probably like 13. So we start 7th or 8th grade, somewhere in there. You know what I mean?
And get your schools behind it. See, that's the other thing. If the school gets behind it, they're promoting sex in school anyway.
But did you know something that y'all didn't happen to bring up that happened back in the days was this.
What's that?
Girls was having babies back then, Walter was giving you money for every child you had. And these girls were going out here having babies like crazy to get all this money. Now they're only giving out food, because back then they was giving out cash. When you have 5 kids, they send you a check for like $700-$800. For every kid, they was giving you $100-something a kid. Now, you can look that up, because that was a fact. And then all of a sudden, they changed that. Because I knew a lot of girls back then was getting pregnant because they knew every time they have a baby, their welfare check is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah, but
I was thinking, like, is they shutting these people up to have all these kids by taunting them with money and money and money?
Yeah, but the downside,
you know, more black and brown people have kids than white people have babies. Because we're the target for that. Welfare back then, like, okay, you have 8, 9 kids, give you over $1,500.
The downside about that was now you go after the male for the money.
Exactly.
The other thing was, now there's no male in the house. So that was the downside. So that ended up adding to what we have now. That you know, you're looking for money, but you can't have a man in the house.
Exactly.
So that was the downside
about that.
That was the law they had too. Yeah. So some of the things that looked like it was good really wasn't good.
Because they didn't see that part where, okay, you can have these kids, but your daddy can't live there. What you mean? The baby father can't live with you. We're going to get his money, but they can't come live with you.
Hey, Sade, I'm sorry. You could whip up a certificate, too, or some sort of – I think that would be an excellent trophy. You know, give them the little stipend,
I think that comes out to about
$300 a year, and that would be a nice thing to promote it on a month by month basis. And the main thing is not having unprotected sex,
That'd be a good thing to bring up to at a PTA meeting too.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's what I said
definitely
earlier. Not having sex at all, but if you're going to, then you need to
use protection. Right.
And
right.
Like I say, a trophy or a certificate, and also that $300 at the end of each year for both girls and boys, and that would cause them to start talking about it. See, they have the solution within themselves, because they are the ones that are doing it. So I think this would be a good outside suggestion from knowledgeable adults to go ahead and try and implement this. Connected with the schools.
Then we got to hope like hell our kids listen too, because That peer pressure.
I mean, listen, the conversation you had, which is good. That would be good. You get
it. Yeah. And, you know, there could also, as a tag along, you could have an educational aspect to this and teach them about the diseases that are represented when they don't practice safe sex, if they're going to practice sex. Do it safely.
Well,
there's a lot of diseases out there.
They do that. They show that. I've seen that. I've been in schools where we actually taught them that part. I used to do HIV and AIDS to grammar schools. I used to go and teach that to grammar school children. You know what I mean? Grammar school and high school. I used to teach that. So,
right, but two things.
Yeah.
I don't think they do it consistently, and it's not widespread. Those are the two drawbacks. It's not
done consistently. There's another problem with that, too, because some parents don't want you teaching their kids that stuff, too, now. Because you know how they say, I don't want you talking to my kids about no sex education in school.
Yeah,
but where are they going to learn if you ain't teaching them?
Well, I mean, those are things that, like, yeah, you're right. There was parents who were kind of against it. You know, teaching the sex education to the grammar school children. However, you also have a point where they wasn't teaching them. So now they're learning from who? The other students. So you know where that goes.
Isn't that the same reason why that guy in Virginia who took out that Democratic mayor, governor, whatever, down there because of that scheme of thing, sex education? They wanted to teach in the school. The parents said, no, you ain't doing it. And they were saying we should, but they said no. He kept saying the parents should have a right to say what their kids can learn and not learn. And he ended up winning because the Democratic guy said, well, we should teach this and that. But the parents was against it. And they voted them out because some parents don't want you telling their kids about sex.
Well, they was about handing condoms out, too. So you used to hand condoms out, too, in school. All of that. So, yeah.
I always think we should keep them in every bathroom at a college campus, a high school campus. Have them in the bathrooms and the women and men's condoms.
Well, some parents think that promotes sex by showing them condoms. They think that promotes them to get them.
Rather let them see a condom than walking around naked.
Right, and you know, my position is not to promote it. Actually, I say the best thing is abstinence, but one could take the statistics of various areas, and you can see that in terms of out-of-wedlock pregnancies and, of course, live births to single mothers, and sort of adapt it to that particular reality, right? So there are a lot of moving parts here that need to be brought together. But I think with the problem one could do the statistics because you can see the pipeline from school to prison, from school to juvenile involvement sort of thing.
Yeah,
and this is the this is the authority that the people in a particular community have to take, other than just talking. See, I'm not a type of person that just does a whole lot of blabbing. I mean, I do like talking about things, but I more like doing.
Find the solutions and deal how to get it done.
And doing it.
Mm-hmm.
See, because just talking about something, which is what so many people are geared to do, and that's okay. I mean, you know, people are passionate. I'm okay with some of that, but make no mistake about it. But some people, their whole game is just talking.
To hell
Absolutely.
With that. You got to be a doer. Like they said,
anybody
could talk a good game.
Just do it. And young kids, let me tell you something. I've done a lot of mentoring in various schools on career day and what have you. Kids love the power of men. Both boys and girls, because, you know, a man tall, over six feet, represents power and authority. I mean, kids are just fascinated. That really shifts them into a learning mode. And then you incentivize them with what I'm talking about now. And the real thing is conditioning. It's not so much the money. You're not trying to really pay them. You're just using, you know, I'm all for parents giving their kids an allowance, right? But the main thing is that they learn how to work. They learn the work ethic. And
value of a dollar.
That's just a little bit of incentive. And they need money. I mean, kids need money, so, you know, it kind
of
works
the value
out.
Of a dollar, because I know we had chores to do when I was a kid. We wanted a dollar. We had to do something for that dollar. You wasn't
right.
just getting it.
Right.
Is your bed
right.
made? Yes. No. Well, you ain't getting it. Did you take out the garbage? No. Well, you ain't getting it.
Yeah, but you've got to strike a deadly blow at these out of wedlock births. That is a cancer in any community, any place. I saw in 60 Minutes they were doing 60 Minutes Australia, and see the intelligentsia, the elitist, they want single motherhood because they know that's the most destructive. And they know that's the easiest to control. There's nothing weaker than a single mother, extremely weak, and usually in poverty. This woman, this lady had like two, she had either two or three kids. And I noticed very conspicuously they never mentioned a father, never. No mention of a father. So I think there's a promotion, but realize the system cannot support a whole bunch of single women, whether it's in retirement or with kids. The system is just not built to sustain that kind of lifestyle. And so, but you've got to address that one way or the other. That's going to sink you. A bunch of women with kids that are unruly, which they are going to be, because women really can't raise kids to be healthy adults. Now, we can point to the exception. We can go, see, there's one that looks like they're pretty healthy. Okay, that's that one. What about that 100 that's behind that one, right? And so you just sort of have to have the intestinal fortitude stand up, really, to women. Most men cannot stand up to women. They're super simps, when it comes to women. Most men who could lift a Volkswagen, a woman comes along, they get toothpick legs. That's not the way it should be.
Yeah, and they remember stuff you did 10 years ago, too.
Well, that's on you, Miles. I'm not going down that path.
We look at it like, yo, that's gone and good. We ain't thinking about that no more. But then last year, I remember 3 months ago, I asked you to do this and that.
Like, yeah, why is that, though? Everybody spends time trying to win it, right? So why is that?
Because women pay more attention than men do.
That's not true. We hurt them too much, my brother. We did that.
But they remember all that stuff we did to them. We look past it like, oh, that's gone over with. And they remember the time and date that it happened. And then we got to
right.
remember, I don't remember that, but they do.
That's right.
Remember stuff that we just throw out the window.
So who pointed it? All the day.
Of course, you're going to remember somebody who hurt you. You ain't going to forget that.
Whose fault is it? Ours or theirs?
It's both. Because we do it and they allow it to happen. It's both our fault.
Come on, man.
If we hurt a woman, we know we're hurting her, and she's going to let us do that, that's on both of us. But if she says, I'm not having that, and kicked you to the curb, she's taking control. She's taking her control back.
Hey, now, if you kick you to the curb, what you doing to her now? Now, you beating the hell out of her, or you terrorizing her, you're doing something weird. A female cannot break up with a man. A man has to break up with a woman.
No. I know women that left men who did them like that. That's why they call it domestic violence. There are a lot of women who walked away from that. Some of them stayed and came back, but there's a lot of them walked away from that now, bro. You can't say all women are taking that because they're not.
Nah, you can't say all.
Strong enough to stand up and say enough is enough.
You can't say all or anything, but majority.
We are about $3 now.
But
majority
no man
could
do that to a woman in the first place. Why a man could do that to a woman, but when he get up with another man, he all of a sudden he's a punk. He can't do that to another man because another man would beat him down. Because a lot of guys do that. They'll beat up a woman, but when they get into a fight with a man, they'll try their best to get out of that. But they're the type of guy that they want nobody. If you stand up to a bully will back down.
All right, guys, I'm going to call it a night, man.
Yeah, for real.
It's been a pleasure, all right?
Hey, it's good to agree and to disagree and still be homies.
Yeah, of course, man. That's what we need to be able to do. Agree.
Yo, my man still on or he hung up?
No, I'm here. I'm watching
the
game.
Right?
I'm watching
it. And even though we're disagreeing, we still cool, right?
Unlike everybody else, I love football. I'm watching the game.
Just like, you don't just want like
a man. Talk about it, huh?
Just like a man to say something like that.
I'm talking about police brutality and black on black crime and welfare.
You still
watch
the game. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
That's right.
It's 35-35 in the fourth quarter. It's a hell of a game.
Oh, okay. Oh,
it's tied up, huh?
Yeah, 35-35. But we're gonna close it out. We're gonna talk to you guys
on Wednesday or something, man. I'm up to, you know.
All right, Shaw. It's always a pleasure, my brother.
Yeah, same here, my brother.
And my other brother from another side of the city. Keep it strong, man. Keep it strong.
We're gonna close it down. We're gonna close it down anyway. Make sure y'all tune in. Dre, you
Wednesday.
Doing your show tomorrow night? No, Dre do a show on Monday nights. I don't know if he's doing it tomorrow. I don't know. It's called Humble X Visions at 7. And then
tomorrow night.
So is this the same
night,
number I'm using, this number right here?
Yes. But his show.
Thank you, my brother,
like
who crossed the street over top of the store on the corner.
Yeah, Jay Sean.
Yo, Jay Sean, when I walk past that man, drop me a bag of chips out the window, man. I'll catch him.
All right. Hey, LaToya.
Yes.
Thanks for hanging in the locker room with the guys tonight.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you, Miss Miller. You're a trooper. You're a trooper.
You heard it. You had a lot of testosterone in here tonight. You hung in there.
Go tell your lady friends how we was talking about you women like we were. Go ahead.
Yeah,
snitch on
her. Yeah.
Put the bulletin board up.
Yeah. Do that.
Sade. Sade.
Sade. He's still there. Sade still there? He probably hung up. All right, well, we're going to close out tonight. Everybody be safe, you know, and tune in. Keep tuning in Mondays, Wednesdays, Sundays, and you know, you'll be tuning in Friday to my show, Crazy, the Craziest Podcast.
All right,
man,
I'm
going to
check you out.
You know? All right, we'll talk to y'all later. Y'all, everybody be
all
safe.
All right, my brothers, y'all be peaceful.
Yep,
all right,
good night.
Good night. Yo.
Yeah.
Are you still there? I thought you went to sleep.